93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, and it is March 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, at St. Joe's University, student who disappeared following a rugby tournament in Bermuda was found dead Monday after an intensive search of the British Island Territory. Searchers found the body of 19-year-old Mark Dombrowski at the base of a colonial-era fort in a park not far from where he was last seen walking by himself. Investigators would not say how they believed he died, but said that they are not ruling out foul play at this time. Forensic experts are still processing the scene where the body was found, and an autopsy is planned.
I know this park. I've been to Bermuda a number of times, and there's a lot of foot traffic around there. It's not like it's a rural, remote area. There's really not a lot of remote areas on Bermuda. I was surprised to see where they found him.
He was a member of the rugby team at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and had gone to Bermuda to compete in a tournament. He disappeared early Sunday with video footage showing him walking alone and looking at his phone as he left a bar where his friends had gathered. He was found at the base of Fort Prospect in a wooded area known as the Arboretum and near an athletic center where the team had played during the tournament. His family rushed to the island to join the search and retrace his steps. "We dearly love our son. We cherish our son. We want him back," his mother said at a news conference with police officials. "We thank the citizens of Bermuda. People have been with us shoulder to shoulder throughout this ordeal." Detective Sergeant Jason Smith said there's no evidence that Dombrowski was drunk or alcohol played a role in his disappearance. His mother speculated that her son, who had hurt his shoulder in the game that day, wasn't feeling well and had simply wanted to call it a night. She said the surveillance footage showed him favoring his one arm. "He wasn't in a celebratory kind of mood," his mother said. "He wanted to get back." The university issued the following statement Monday evening. "The St. Joseph University community is heartbroken tonight to learn from the Bermuda Police Services in Hamilton that student Mark Dombrowski has died. We extend our deepest sympathies to the family and along with Mark's teammates, classmates, and friends." And then they also said, you know, obviously there'll be services for students who need it.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's totally horrible. We were talking about it yesterday. He goes down for, you know, an athletic event, and he's there with his team, and he's having a good time, and then it all goes south.
Well, it's a parent's nightmare, too. You know, I mean, there's my kids are planning some trips, some school-sponsored trips, overseas this summer and in other countries. And, you know, you hope that they're going to be chaperoned properly and that everything's going to be in place. I mean, these are older kids that we're talking about here in college and everything. But
well, my nephew goes to Spain next week, and he's a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sad. And, you know, you always think he was leaving a bar. So I'm like, okay, well, did alcohol play a part? But they're saying they don't think so.
No, they say he seemed to be fine. Obviously, they're going to have to do some medical, you know, follow-up, and that'll hopefully help determine what happened. But it's very mysterious.
Yeah, they're going to do an autopsy on his body, so I'm sure we'll find out more. The mayor's task force to combat the opioid epidemic was testing the waters in northeast Philadelphia to see how people feel about having a safe injection site in their neighborhood. The idea was not well-received by most in attendance at the meeting at Cora Services on Varee Road Monday night. "Why the hell would we want to put those sites in these neighborhoods?" asked one resident. Fox Chase residents turned out in force to hear the task force's idea about the injection sites, or CUES, comprehensive user engagement sites, places where heroin users can go to safely inject heroin in a supervised setting. "It's important that these sites be in places that are convenient to where users currently are," said Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley. Officials point out that approximately 1,200 people died of drug overdoses in the city last year. That's four times the city's homicide rate. They point out that the number of deaths have been reduced in sites like Vancouver and other cities where safe injection sites have been opened. Yeah. "Zero people have died in the facility. Zero," said Farley. "They save lives there. It was evident early in the meeting that people do not want these sites in their neighborhoods."
I just don't know how listen, I've heard arguments for and against it, and sometimes the arguments for it are kind of compelling, but how is that legal?
I know. People are doing an illegal act.
Thing. And you are providing a place for that to be done. Yeah, it's a little confusing, isn't it?
I know. And they opened this up to say, like, how would you feel if this was in your neighborhood? I mean,
guys,
who's going to show up and say, yes, great idea?
I have some great news.
Seriously.
We're going to help fight the opioid crisis in your backyard.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the heroin users will be
Isn't that awesome? But they'll be fine.
Well, listen, they're going to kick it off with a potluck dinner.
Exactly.
So, the whole neighborhood.
And a mixer and potato sack.
Listen, just real quick, on the flip side, is it better to get them in a center than off of the streets? You know,
I know the argument,
and I know that area pretty well. And you know, would you rather have a junkie dying on the corner of the road, or have him in a building where it's a little more managed and regulated?
But to Casey's question, how is it legal when you know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody is right here. They're all doing an illegal thing. You know what I mean?
I was thinking of other illegal activities and would they really have a place where you could just go and if you felt like killing somebody, you could. It's in this house.
How about this? All those parents out there that have allowed their children to have parties at their house that are under 21, because I'd rather them, they're under my roof, at least that I know where they are and what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. Well,
it's the same thing.
It's a similar argument to prostitution. If you've got an area where they're prominent and they're around and you know that and there's very little you can do about it.
They've tried that,
just have a whorehouse?
They've tried variations on it. In this case, everyone's so hands up in the air, don't know how to get their arms around what exactly is going on. If this has had success, it's just where you put it. I guess it's to the point of the guy you were quoting.
Yeah, nobody wants it in there anymore.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, there was they did this big story about this. They're trying to gentrify all these areas, and there was one area in particular where all the people wanted to go buy their drugs and do their drugs. It was down by these train tracks, north of Old City. And there was a guy there. I mean, it was a shack, and they called him the doctor. And if you really know how to inject yourself, you would just go in there, you'd pay this guy a little bit of a fee, and this dude would just, he would poke you.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's crazy, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're talking about stuff like this.
Yeah, right, exactly. So we'll see are there any of these open? I don't know of any yet.
Not to the best of my knowledge here, but there are other places.
Not here.
Yeah.
Okay. The Pennsylvania Attorney General has announced new fines for a Philadelphia towing company, plus restitution for some consumers whose cars have been towed. George Smith Towing has long been on the radar for alleged illegal towing and abuse of motorists. On Thursday, the Pennsylvania Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, announced a settlement with the company on behalf of 28 customers who filed complaints. All 28 will get their $205 fines refunded. In addition, Shapiro announced thousands of dollars more in fines against the company as part of the newly reached settlement.
Was George Smith the one, you remember the guy had the video of his street outside of his office?
The sign
was down.
Was it him
that
or
was
Lou?
It Bloom? Yeah, it was.
No, I don't think it was Lou. I think that Lou has the agreement or has the contract with the city, correct?
I believe he's the biggest. You always see the Bloom signs all over the place when they're threatening towing your car.
Yeah, I don't know if it was this guy, but that was my first thought when I read the story.
So this is obviously another guy.
So we received 28 complaints, Shapiro said. Look, parking in the city is hard enough without the threat of your car being illegally towed. This settlement is about protecting consumers from illegal conduct and, most importantly, getting them restitution that they are owed. George Smith Towing is currently owned by Anthony D'Angelo. If you think you've been victimized by this company, you have until April 29th. The deadline is part of the agreement reached with the company by the Attorney General's office. But they're saying if you do think this, you want to file a complaint, they want to hear from you, but you only have until April 29th. All new complaints about George Smith Towing must be filed by then for consumers to get reimbursed the $205 towing fee. You can contact the Attorney General's office by phone, or you can email them scams@attorneygeneral.gov. Or if you go to their website, attorneygeneral.gov, you can actually submit a complaint online. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Joel Embiid had 25 points and 19 rebounds, and Ben Simmons had the ninth triple-double of his young career to lead the Sixers to a 108-94 win over the Charlotte Hornets last night in South Philly.
They did it!
Simmons had 11 points, 12 rebounds, and 15 assists to help the Sixers keep alive their shot at finishing fourth in the Eastern Conference and earning home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. The win improved them to 39-30, their best record after 69 games in 15 years. The Sixers would have to pass Washington and Indiana to grab the number 4 seed and avoid Toronto or Boston in the first round. They're home again tomorrow night with a game against the Memphis Grizzlies. With only 9 games remaining in the regular season, the Flyers are also jockeying for playoff position. Currently, they're tied with the Columbus Blue Jackets in the Metro Division with 85 points. Both teams are 2 points behind the Pittsburgh Penguins and 4 points behind the Washington Capitals for first place in the division. The Flyers are in Detroit tonight with a game against the Red Wings, and the puck drops at 7:30. At spring training, Jake Arrieta is scheduled to start Thursday afternoon's Grapefruit League game against the Tigers in Clearwater. He signed a 3-year, $75 million contract with the Phils on March 12th and pitched in a simulated game on Saturday at the Carpenter Complex in Clearwater. Yesterday, the Phils lost to the Red Sox, falling 6-5. They're back at it this afternoon with a game in Clearwater against the Blue Jays, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. So, like I said, we got some weather coming in. We have a few different things that we're going to talk about this morning. One of those does concern that. We are going to have from NBC 10 meteorologist Brittany Shipp on to give us the latest, because they've changed those titles. Those totals. Yesterday, they were just talking about maybe, 2 inches, something along those lines.
Maybe that.
But now another nor'easter has built up, and there's two on the way.
I heard,
and those keep changing as the totals keep changing as we move closer to it.
When I heard just, it was going to be like a mix, like maybe a coating, 2 inches, I just stopped paying attention. And then last night, I'm like, wait a minute, what?
It's a two-prong attack as far as nor'easters go. And so the second part of it that's coming in could give us like 8 inches and more. And I'm like, when did that happen?
Enough. I'm over this.
So we'll talk to Brittany later on this morning, and we'll see what she has in the latest models. We also have Philly Wine Week is coming up. So we're going to have a representative, Chloe Grigri. Is that how you say it?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Grigri, I think. Anyhow, she's going to stop and give us some of the details. Our buddy Bert Kreischer ran the L.A. Marathon on Sunday. He did not train at all for it. He's never run a marathon.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
I want to find out how that went. I don't know the outcome of it all, but we're going to have him on for a quick call just to follow that up and see how that went. But I saw the video of him getting ready as the race was starting.
Oh, my gosh.
Turns a guy next to him. He goes, did you train for this? Yeah. He goes, I didn't train at all. I didn't do anything. So I'm curious as to how it went for him.
Well, so I'm assuming he's alive. If we're having him on the phone, he can't move.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him. And then we have a guy named Chef Dude who's on the show today. Yes, Chef Dude will be on our show. Hoagie Nation is coming up. It's a big party at Festival Pier. And they have a pre-party on the way and some music and so forth that's going to be at that event. So we'll find out about that.
Well, when you've been on the air for 2 decades, you do have the kind of firepower that lands you a Chef Dude.
That's correct. And we'll have Tattoos Day taking place. So listener Gerard is coming in, and we'll have Kyle from Philadelphia Eddie stopping in to do the ink work. We also have been given a new movie screening, one that I specifically request. Casey made it happen. I'm excited about this, and it's a movie that I've been waiting for a while because I've read the book 4 times. It's called Ready Player One, and the screening is next Tuesday, so we'll do some giveaways with that a little bit later. I still have some left for tonight's screening?
You know what?
So I should give those away first. We have a screening tonight of Pacific Rim Uprising.
Very cool.
The IMAX screen at the UA King of Prussia, 7:30 tonight, and you will need to be there by 7, so we'll take 3 callers right now, and we'll fill out the rest of our guest list on that. 215-263-WMMR is the number. Just go ahead and give us a call right now. We'll put you on that list, and I'll do the Ready Player One stuff a little bit later on. We will take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll have a stupid question in the entertainment report. So stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
What? All right, thank you, Kat. So we are going to do a stupid question, going to give away Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, starring Dwayne Johnson, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, and so on. And it is available today on Blu-ray and DVD. The question I have for you, I did mention it's the first day of spring. What is the astronomical term for this particular day? 215-263-WMMR, the official term for the first day of spring. Let's see if you know the answer to that. 215-263-WMMR. Today is March 20th, and some birthdays to share with you. The lead singer of the band Franz Ferdinand, Alex Kapranos.
I'm a fan of that band.
Is celebrating his 46th birthday today. I only know the one song.
Yeah.
And that's it. Take Me Out. And I know it mainly because of Casey's wonderful dance. And
yes.
Graced with, not every time anymore, but on occasion, when this song changes gears, Casey will walk into the studio. It's only if we're not really paying attention, I think.
No. Well, now you always pay attention. Now you always expect it. And it's not as much fun.
Well, yes, you have to surprise us.
Yeah.
It's an especially vigorous dance.
Yeah.
You need to come up with a new one then.
Yeah,
I do. A new song that has, but it's got to have the right change and exactly. tempo and all that stuff.
You can't tap this.
I lull you into a false sense of security. And then I break it out,
Maybe
5 years from now.
Alex Kapranos is 46 years old today. Also, great actor William Hurt celebrates his 68th birthday today. He's been in so many awesome movies throughout the years, all the way from weird stuff like Altered States.
Yes, which is a great movie.
To classics like The Big Chill. And, of course, now he's in the Marvel Universe and the Hulk. And he was in Civil War. And
I wondered
how
he transitioned to that. And he did a great job because he's, you know, when he first came on the scene, he was sort of the artist and the method actor and all that stuff. He's in one of my absolute favorite movies of all time called The Doctor.
It's a great movie. And then, like you said, he'll do some real method stuff like Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Yeah.
And he's just a phenomenal talent. He's 68. And also one of his co-stars, probably on more than one occasion, Holly Hunter.
Oh. Yes.
Remember Broadcast News?
I loved her in Broadcast News.
They were both in that movie together.
I love them so much.
That's sad. Her from Raising Arizona, right?
I love them so much.
She can be over the top in the most awesome way.
Yeah.
In some of her roles like that.
Or then buttoned down the senator in Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and she's in a bunch of stuff, man. She's great. Of course, she plays Elastigirl.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
Incredibles, and she'll be reprising that role. We spoke to her several years ago and asked her about that, and she's like, you know, like, are they going to do it again? She's like, everybody loves that. Everybody loves that movie. And no, I haven't heard anything about us doing it again. And eventually they did. And of course, it's coming out, I think, next year or this
June.
Year?
June.
There we go. Oh, my God. So awesome. And our buddy Michael Giacchino doing the music for that. He did the original music for the first one.
And according to the trailer, she's out and about. And he becomes a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
And it looks very funny.
So Holly Hunter is celebrating her 60th today. John DeLancey, for those of you who are familiar with Star Trek, he's a legend in that world because, of course, he played Q on The Next Generation, a great character.
He was in the absolute first episode of Next Generation and the absolute last episode of Next Generation, plus appearances all the way throughout.
And he's one of those guys.
He was in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. He was the skeevy doctor.
Oh, my God. At the beginning. And he was also in Breaking Bad. He had a small role.
Was he?
That. Yeah, as well.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
Really playing that.
He played.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the girl, Ritter, the actress. What's her name?
Kristen Ritter?
Yeah,
her dad.
Her dad.
Remember, he meets him in the bar. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the air traffic controller.
Yeah. He's a great actor. He's 71 today. Spike Lee celebrates his 62nd birthday. Some fantastic movies throughout the years. Jungle Fever, Do the Right Thing. Steve and I, masterpiece, Malcolm X.
That's my favorite Spike Lee movie, yeah. I mean, Denzel's performance and everything is sort of pitch perfect in that.
Yep, so he's 62 today. Hal Linden.
Oh, my God.
Barney Miller himself.
Every year I'm surprised to hear he's alive. I don't know why, but he is.
He is celebrating his 87th birthday today.
He was great.
I loved Barney Miller.
He was the best straight guy with the rockin' stash.
Yep.
And that, maybe in the entire run of the show, did they ever have an episode that took place out of the police precinct?
Not that I remember. Yeah, he's 87 today. Then you have absolute legend in the world of the NHL, Bobby Orr.
Oh, my God.
And he turned 70 years old today.
I had a couple of Bobby Orr hockey sets growing up, you know, with the sliding guys on the track and all that stuff.
Yeah. So a big 70th birthday for Bobby Orr. Also, Pat Riley, NBA coach, is 73 today.
How much product has been in that hair?
Yeah, quite a bit. I saw him, Steve. I don't know if you encountered him as well, but when we went to Hawaii for the screening of Pearl Harbor, it was star-studded with celebrities all over the place. And Marilyn and I were there, and he walked right by
us. He was meandering around?
We said hi to him real quick.
Yeah. No, I don't recall seeing him.
He's 73 today. And then, talk about still being alive and kicking, man, at 96 years old, Carl Reiner has his birthday today. He's fantastic.
Sharp as a tack, too. Yeah.
And I guess the last of his bigger roles was through the Ocean's 11 series,
which,
that final one was just a few years ago. But the movie, and Nick and I have seen its documentary, I think it's called Wake Up, Read the Obit. If you're not in it, have breakfast.
Right, right.
Or something along those lines. And it's about people in their 90s living their lives and trying to just really get the most out of what they have left in life. And he's just a...
A legend.
I would just love to spend some time with him.
TV, know? the movies he's directed. We're huge fans of the Steve Martin movies he directed, like the Jerk and Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid and stuff like that. Yeah. And then others. I mean, he's just a consummate talent.
Hey, he's still acting. Nick pulled up. He has three credits for this year. So Ocean's 8. I guess they're doing another
the
version. Girl, of
the women, yeah.
Yeah,
the
that's
women.
Right.
Okay, Sandra Bullock. And
he's in that, and he's playing Sal, that same character, or Saul. And then he's in something called Saddle Up and Duck, Duck, Goose, where he's voicing some stuff. So the man is 96 years old and still completely viable.
I think the perfect role for him would be Dom Sr. in the Fast and the Furious. The next Fast and the Furious, making Vin Diesel's dad.
I like it. All right, so those are your birthdays today. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Today is the first day of spring. What's the official name of that? The astronomical name of the first day of spring. And I will go to Logan, who's on the line. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks.
All right, so what is the official term for the first day of spring?
The spring equinox.
No, that's incorrect. There's a more specific. It's an equinox, but it is not the spring equinox. So thank you. I'm going to go to Greg. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's the word?
Yo, bud.
It's bird.
I want to know what the
vernal,
official.
Vernal equinox.
Yeah.
Vernal equinox. You may call it the spring equinox, but that's not the answer I was looking for. Greg got it. We're going to give him Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle, starring Dwayne Johnson, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, and also Nick Jonas. It's available today on Blu-ray and DVD, rated PG-13. So we get equal portions of day and light, of light and darkness today.
Yes, and though we may not know it.
No, we may not realize it with the impending nor'easter on the way. So, first day of spring. All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stuff today. Sex and the City star Cynthia Nixon confirmed the long-rumored run for governorship for New York. Nixon made the announcement on Twitter yesterday via a campaign video.
I wonder if she has a shot, because she's... She's popular. She's been around the city. She had Sex in the City. I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She seems likable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why not?
She said, I love New York, and today I'm announcing my candidacy for governor. Join us. That's what she tweeted. And then she had a video, and she said, New York is my home. I've never lived anywhere else. And showed her spending time with her family. She said, when I grew up here, it was just my mom and me in a one-bedroom, fifth-floor walk-up. New York is where I was raised and where I'm raising my kids. I'm a proud public school graduate and a producer. And a prouder public school parent. I was given chances I just don't see for most of New York kids today. She said, our leaders are letting us down. We are now the most unequal state in the entire country with both incredible wealth and extreme poverty. Half of the kids in our upstate cities live below the poverty line. How did we let this happen? I love New York. I've never wanted to live anywhere else, but something has to change. So she has long been an outspoken advocate for LGBTQ rights, public school education, unions, and health care, and she's running against incumbent Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Democrat.
I'd be curious to see how that works out. Yeah. If she does win, they say that will encourage Fraggles to run for mayor, because they're all in the HBO family.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, okay. And that would be very interesting. But
Vote for Boober.
Vote for Boober, exactly.
Boober?
Yes.
Was there a Fraggle named Boober?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why not? Yeah,
that's great. Time's Up is demanding an investigation into allegations that Manhattan District Attorney mishandled the criminal case against Harvey Weinstein. We touched on some of the details on this yesterday.
Yes, the first time around.
They're calling for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to launch an investigation of DA Cyrus Vance and his office's handling of a 2015 case involving model Ambra Batalana Gutierrez. Now, reports that District Attorney Cyrus Vance could have been improperly influenced by Mr. Weinstein and or his representatives, and that senior officials with the DA's office may have sought to intimidate Batalana are particularly disturbing and merit investigation. This is according to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, reports that the New York Police Department chose to isolate Batalana from Vance's staff because they feared his office was actively working to discredit her story demand immediate scrutiny. They said, we are concerned that what appears to be the negative relationship between the Sex Crimes Unit of the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and the Special Victims Unit of the NYPD makes it even less likely that victims who have been assaulted by rich or powerful men will be willing to come forward and that their assailants will be prosecuted and convicted. Given the multitude of credible reports of Mr. Weinstein's behavior after the DA's decision not to prosecute in this case, arguably his continued victimization of others could have been avoided.
I heard that there was the notion that perhaps money was donated for campaigns and things of that nature.
Weinstein's lawyer David Boies reportedly donated $10,000 to Vance after his office declined to press charges against Harvey. Yep, so they're looking into it.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Disney is asking a Toronto court to seal documents in a sex assault lawsuit filed by an actress known in court only as Jane Doe.
Oh, don't tell me. Mickey Mouse?
No, she is suing for $14 million and claims that he assaulted her in 2000.
Oh, for Weinstein.
Harvey, yeah.
Yeah.
In the lawsuit, she claims Disney, which owned Weinstein's Miramax film company, should be held partially responsible for two separate assaults. On Monday, Disney asked the court to seal details of its employment relationship with Weinstein.
Yeah, why don't you come up to my hotel room?
Come up to the castle.
Come up to the castle and I'll go through some scripts. I have some projects I think you'd be perfect for. And, hey, how about you watch me shower, huh?
Comes up, he's in a robe.
You think this is magical? Take a look at this! It's the most wonderful penis on earth.
Oh, my God. Charlie Sheen sued the National Enquirer last year over a story that it published alleging that he had raped Corey Haim on the set of Lucas when he was 13.
I remember when this came out.
Sheen and the late Haim's mother deny the story. TMZ reports that Sheen's lawyers have filed papers to dismiss the lawsuit, which they say also probably means that they settled the case.
This is probably the only time Charlie Sheen can fight something where they were wrong, because everything else you hear is spot on.
Yep.
Sources tell the gossip site no money changed hands.
Nick
and Vanessa Lachey are teaming up to co-host the Miss USA pageant on May 21st.
This is exciting news.
Actress and former Dancing with the Stars contestant Vanessa has plenty of experience on the pageant circuit, having nabbed the tiara herself as Miss Teen USA in 1998.
Oh. All right. We won't even say what we used to observe about that particular pageant. However, she's very lovely. She was an actress and a correspondent. You know her, Preston.
Vanessa, what was her last name?
Now I'm having
Marcel?
A brain. No. But, God, she was actually in Fantastic
Manillo.
Four. That's it.
Vanessa Manillo.
Yes. Right. Very attractive.
She worked backstage as a correspondent for Miss USA in 2001 and co-hosted Miss Universe in 2007. So she's got some experience with that.
I like him. I like her. I like them.
The ceremony will take place in Shreveport, Bossier, Louisiana.
Ooh, Shreveport.
And I know, right? Shreveport?
Wow. Right. Oh, yeah.
The jewel of Louisiana. And will air.
Now, from lovely Pismo Beach.
Yeah. And will air.
From Shreveport to New Orleans. To Texarkana, where all the world's most beautiful women congregate.
To Colorado.
Yeah.
All those cities that are on borders and they have both names.
To Rectal Rash, Rhode Island.
Rectal Rash.
Calexico.
So anyhow, it'll air May 21st at 8 p.m. on Fox.
Those things just completely pass under the radar when those pageant shows air.
Yeah.
They don't make any.
It used to be a big deal.
And I would watch them all.
And we used to watch Miss America every single year. It
absolutely.
It was like appointment
TV. Yeah. But now it's just you find out the next day.
You do.
Oh, we have Miss America. Yeah. Congratulations.
You watch the highlights and that's it. Of course, the thing you tune in for is the talent competition.
Of course.
I kind
of
miss the simplicity of it all. Of what you know,
it was a more gentle time.
Yeah,
like the original pageants on the Atlantic City Boardwalk.
Listen, every Friday night it was like, all right, let's watch Dallas, or you know,
yeah.
Every Saturday was Fantasy Island, and you know, like the Love Boat. And it was, and that's just the way it was. And then when the Olympics came on, everybody huddled around. This is at least in my household.
Gathered around the radio.
Everybody huddled around the TV, and we watched the Olympics
together.
And
Jesse Owens is doing it.
Once a year, the Wizard of Oz came on. You know, like it was a good time.
It meant something.
Yeah. That was the olden days.
It was back in the olden days.
Yeah.
Saturday morning cartoons.
The kids skedaddle off to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be a pie up on the windowsill that Ma had just put up. She was working on her jams and jellies. And then Pa would come back from the fence factory. That's what America was about.
Pa worked at the fence factory?
He did. Back from the war, I went to school on the GI Bill. Then when they got behind closed doors, Ma would dress like Pa and Pa would dress like Ma. And out would come the salve and the various clamps he picked up overseas.
This was Main Street America. Oh, my God.
They never eat that pie. They would rub each other's junk with it.
Yeah. I do have some other stories.
Yes, please.
You guys are interested. Okay. So, in a new excerpt from the upcoming book, Harry, Life, Loss, and Love.
Harry?
Yeah. Harry? No, H-A-R-R-Y. I know what you're thinking, not H-A-I-R-Y.
Harry.
Harry, Life, Loss, and Love by Katie Nichol, The Secrets of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's Budding Romance. Were revealed for the first time. The excerpt was published in Vanity Fair and shows the great lengths they went to avoid the paparazzi when their relationship became public knowledge.
Can I just tell you that Meghan Markle is stunning,
mm-hmm.
and she has a very contagious smile, and she's a joy to watch.
Nichol writes, a story was leaked that Harry had canceled a flight to Toronto to try and make it look like he was in the UK, but photographers and reporters descended on Meghan's home regardless.
You can't shake off the press when you're in the royal family.
Yeah, lovebirds decamped to her pal Jessica and Ben Mulroney's luxe home, spread over three floors with 14-foot-high ceilings in Toronto. According to the book, when Harry came to visit the family, he brought a bag filled with gifts. He won the kids over in an instant. He was brilliant with them, and I think what swung it for Meghan was how good Harry was with them, a source said. I actually think that might have been the moment that Meghan really fell for Harry.
Sure, it's not the whole prince thing. None of that. It's how good he is with the kids.
He got to know the Mulroneys quite well, and they liked Harry from the beginning, they said. This was pretty cool. Angelina Jolie took a few of her kids to see the new Tomb Raider reboot on Sunday.
She was Tomb Raider in the original.
15 years after she took on the role of Lara Croft herself. That's right. The 42-year-old attended an afternoon showing in L.A., with Zaraha, it says Zaraha, it's Zahara.
Zahara.
Zahara, Shiloh, Knox, and Vivienne. In the new Tomb Raider, Alicia Vikander, of course, takes on the Croft role. But, she wanted to take her kids to see what she had played before.
And there's some really good reviews, some not-so-good reviews of this. I definitely want to see it because I love the reboot of the video game. I love what they did with the character. But originally, when Lara Croft was played by, Angelina Jolie was playing Lara Croft in the video games looked exactly like Angelina Jolie.
Yep, absolutely. Shia LaBeouf will appear in a film called Honey Boy. Now, it's about his own troubled childhood, but he will not be performing as himself. Rather, he will portray his father.
Oh, boy.
While Lucas Hedges will play him.
So this might be like a cathartic thing for him.
Maybe. Fans can see LaBeouf in Borg versus McEnroe out next month. Hedges recently appeared in Lady Bird and Manchester by the Sea. No word yet on when Honey Boy will be released.
So I read a little bit of that article that Shia LaBeouf comes clean about everything in his life. And yep. He is messed the F up.
Yeah. You can tell.
Yes.
He's just unhinged.
He is a very good actor, but he is... You remember when the Crystal Skull came out? Now, granted, it's not the best of the Indiana Jones movies, but you're dealing with Steven Spielberg, the director and producer of that film. And then he starts bad-talking the movie?
Yeah.
That's not a smart move.
No. Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost's romance is going strong, according to Page Six. Is it Jost?
Jost.
Okay.
He looks like a 9-year-old.
Who's he?
Weekend Update on SNL.
Okay. Let's see. According to Page Six, sources tell the Gossip Sheet that Johansson showed up to Saturday Night Live an after party of the weekend to hang with him. Bill Hader, members of Arcade Fire, John Hamm, Paul Rudd, and Lorne Michaels were all there. So apparently they're going along well.
Steve, you watch, I watch actually a lot of Saturday Night Live. I missed it this weekend. Is it worth, because I DVR'd
Bill Hader? Yeah, there are one or two good skits. There's one where he plays an old guy in a mobility scooter that's being dated by a much younger Cecily Strong, and they show up at a party, and he gets aroused on schedule. They're trying to have a baby, so she puts a blanket over her lap and sits down on him while they're playing cards. It's very funny.
And if you like Stefan, he was on Weekend Update. Bill Hader.
Speaking of SNL, ahead of Chadwick Boseman's appearance in Avengers Infinity War and the release of Cardi B's new album, the pair are set to take the stage for SNL on April 7th.
So very nice.
That should be pretty cool. And I'm sure they'll have some fun with Black Panther.
I saw a great cosplay pairing. It was one of the guards from Wakanda, the girl with the bald head. And then it was the Black Panther outfit. It was the lower part, but they had like a cartoony panther head with the raised eyebrows. Okay. It looked hilarious.
Nice. Let's see. Two women who say Steven Seagal sexually assaulted them when they were teenagers came forward with details of their allegations on Monday.
There are a number of women who have claimed Steven Seagal, pressured them for sex.
Actress Regina Simmons and Dutch model Fabiola Dadis were joined by their lawyer, Lisa Bloom, who has made a name for herself representing famous women in high-profile sexual assault cases, including Blac Chyna and Misha Barton.
You know, it's funny is a lot of people forget that Lisa Bloom was Harvey Weinstein's lawyer originally.
Which she later called a colossal mistake.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Simons claims that she worked with Seagal as an extra in 1993's On Deadly Ground and was invited to a rap party at his home, only to find him alone.
Of course.
Seagal was more than twice my size and twice my age, she said. I was not sexually active, nor had I ever been naked in front of a man before. I froze. She says that he took his clothes off and began to have relations with her. There was nothing consensual about this. She said, I could not move and felt as if I was watching my body from above. I felt tears coming down my face, and I looked away from his face. Afterwards, he asked her if she needed money, she claimed. And she said, I cried the entire way home.
I wonder if he does that whisper thing when he's with, one person, or is that always the way he talks?
She said that she was 17 when she met Seagal in 2002 at a hotel. This is according to Davis. She said, Steven approached me and said that he would like to act out a romantic scene. I felt uncomfortable because I was in my bikini, and I expressed this. Steven slipped his hand under my bikini top and then simultaneously slid his hand somewhere else. I quickly yelled that this audition is over, and I began gathering my things. He sat there calmly as if nothing had happened, while I was noticeably upset and terrified by the experience. Steven's security guard stood blocking the doorway and only moved when Steven motioned to him. Mm. Simons and Davis are among several women, including Jenny McCarthy and Portia de Rossi, who have accused Seagal of assault as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Case, do we have this audio? Caitlyn Jenner now has 9 million Instagram followers.
Yep, 9 million.
And wanted to make a video concerning that, so I just have a little bit of audio to play from that. Here we go.
Good morning, everybody. It is an early morning right now. I woke up and looked at Instagram, and I went over 9 million followers. That's amazing. It's been a long journey over the last 3 years. Did I do everything right? I don't know, but let me tell you, I certainly tried. I've seen so much.
Hang on a second. I certainly tried.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Sorry,
that
like
happens
Steve.
Occasionally. My tongue's not actually connected.
Yeah,
I don't know, but let me tell you, I certainly tried.
there we go. Sorry.
I certainly tried. I've seen so much love on Instagram. It really has.
Follow me to the observatory. I worked out this great thing that shoots lightning into a corpse and reanimates it. You're going to love it. Girls, how do you do it in the morning? I was just putting on my makeup. Excuse me, I got to crack off one here. There we go. Oh, that feels good. Gives a little more room in the panties. You know what I'm saying.
I certainly tried.
All right, well,
by the way, fun fact, my lower earlobe is the only part of my head that receives blood.
Fun fact.
I actually have to put my head in a paint shaker to get any blood into it. Good times.
9 million followers.
9 million.
Wow.
Hey, speaking of fun facts, I read a fun fact, and I don't know if it's true or not. Yesterday, somebody wrote on Twitter, fun fact, Eric Clapton's drummer stabbed his mother to death. Did you guys ever hear that?
That's a fun fact?
I don't know.
Yeah, who is Eric Clapton? You know what
I'm sure facts Eric Clapton's probably played with a lot of drummers in his time. Did they specify?
I just watched the documentary on him. And I don't remember that, if they mentioned that. Did this just happen?
No.
No, years ago.
This happened in the 1970s. There's a guy named James Beck Gordon, or Jim Gordon, not the commissioner. He had mental health issues. He murdered his mother and was convicted and incarcerated.
Gordon is on Batman.
Okay.
He was probably diagnosed with schizophrenia. He had acute schizophrenia. He was not allowed to use his insanity defense because of changes in California's law. Obviously, I know all of this off the top of my head.
Of course you do. You just know it.
So sad when people can't just be themselves.
Yeah. And he was sentenced to 16 to life in prison in 1984.
Okay. Fun fact.
Wow. All right, fun fact there.
16.
Did it say, hang on, I want to see what albums he played on.
Was he a good drummer?
That's what I'm curious about. Music career, it's...
Derek and the Dominoes.
Oh, that's a, they're good. They did Layla.
He was on Joe Cocker's Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour. Mm. Played on Dave Mason's album, Alone Together.
You ever see that guy talk or sing? It looks weird.
Tour with Traffic and Harry Nilsson and...
Dave Mason?
Caitlin's still here.
No. Joe Cocker. There's just something weird. He's got a weird way to... Excuse me, that he talks.
You should talk.
Special guest Caitlin Jenner. All morning. So, well, that's bad. Obviously, he had some issues then.
I guess so. But apparently it says here that his he was so busy as a studio musician, he had to move to a comedy. So he must have been very, very good if he was that guy. And he stabbed his mom to death. Well.
Okay. I see here that you stabbed your mom to death.
He's interviewing with Caitlin. Is it going to be Caitlin's personal
Derek
assistant?
Dominoes, that's good. That's wonderful. Early Yardbirds, that's great. And I see here, it says here you stabbed your mom to death. I don't know why you would put that in there, but it does raise concerns. Excuse me one second. Got to do that occasionally to restart my pancreas.
What are you interviewing him for?
The personal.
I'm going out on tour.
Caitlin needs a drummer. Oh. Come on. Tour with Rod Stewart.
We have a new band called Joe and the Pussycats.
Joe and the Pussycats?
Yeah, I'm Joe.
Okay. All right. Anyway, let me see. What else do I have for you here? Did you see this? Fans are getting their first glimpse of Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland.
I saw the picture. It looks amazing.
It does. And the new BBC-backed biopic called Judy.
So Renee Zellweger hasn't really looked like Renee Zellweger in a while.
Yeah.
But the Judy Garland story, and I'm a massive fan of Judy Garland, super talented. My mother loved her. My father loved her. All throughout her life, a super talented woman. But those years towards the end, what a disaster.
She died in her early 40s, I think. She looked like she was
70
years old because the drugs, the prescription pills she was taking just did the damage to her.
Like crazy. And she married Vincent Minnelli, who was gay, and they had issues, and obviously. And then she was at one point just so destroyed, she would have to have intense hypnosis to go out on stage.
Yeah.
Wait, so Judy Garland married a gay man and her daughter married a gay man?
Yes.
Yep. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Yeah. But other people are in this as well. The film is going to follow the story of Garland and her last concerts in 1968 London. So it's going to be the latter part of her life, Steve. So she'll be looking bad.
Oh, absolutely.
It also stars Jesse Buckley, Finn Wittrock, Michael Gambone.
Who's named Finn Wittrock?
Who's Dumbledore. He in Harry Potter? Oh, he's Dumbledore. Okay.
Dumbledore, yeah.
Rufus Sewell. And I look up who this was. Bella Ramsey of Game of Thrones. She's Lady Mormont,
ooh, I like
who is awesome. She's a little kid, Steve. She's Only been in a few scenes.
Is she the one that lays
She's
down
awesome.
The law?
Yes.
Okay.
She's awesome.
So the just to, not to go off on a sub tangent, but the Game of Thrones is when's the new season starting?
Not till 2019.
All right. So I still have time.
You
to
got time.
Backlog.
You can
okay.
you can do the whole thing.
All
absolutely.
Right. In fact, I think a lot of us are going to have to. Just to remember where you were.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go back and watch the whole thing myself. All right, and then one last story. Iconic director Steven Spielberg addressed the Time's Up movement at the Empire Awards in London on Sunday night. He said it's been a rich and diverse year for film and for gender and for race and for speaking out, he said, on collecting the Legend of Our Lifetime Award. He said, thank you, Time's Up. We're very much on board. We were very much on board from the very beginning, my wife Kate and I. This is more important than any of us can ever realize. He said that he would start shooting the fifth installation of Indiana Jones in the UK starting in April of next year.
And it's with Harrison Ford
in his
70s playing Indiana Jones.
That is correct. And he also said that he hopes that that Time's Up would end the way things were. All right, we're ready for a couple of clips for you. The new NBC series Rise is an American musical drama series inspired by the book Drama High, made by Michael Sokolov. In this clip, oh, really?
Oh, boy. Go ahead. Go for it.
Ali Cavallo. See, this is a like a hyphenated, or it's got an apostrophe in her
she's
first
Hawaiian.
Name. Okay. Oh, okay. Ali Cavallo. Okay,
right.
There you go. I didn't know it was Hawaiian. All right, there you go.
Yeah, very well done.
Here's the clip.
It focuses on a small town and how a really amazing teacher, Lou Mazzucchelli, galvanizes it, really through theater and through believing in students, and that whatever circumstances you're coming from, whatever hardships you may have to overcome, you can rise above it.
I like big balls.
Rise airs a new episode tonight, NBC on 9.
She's Moana in the Moana movie. She plays the title character, and she guess what year she's born?
I'm going to go with, all right, let's say 2002.
2000.
Okay.
2000.
She's playing Moana in Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is the Wreck-It Ralph follow-up. So yes. I guess she plays the same character.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. All right, let's do the next clip. Fox's new sitcom, L.A. to Vegas, follows crew working the wild Friday night flight from LAX to Vegas and the unpredictable return flight on Sunday. In this clip, Dylan McDermott describes the show's tone. Here we go.
It's also about the flight attendants and the pilots and the customers who are on the plane. And it's just a lot of fun. It's absurd. I mean, flying is already absurd. So this really pokes fun at all that.
I rip ass.
A new episode of the LA to Vegas, of the show LA to Vegas here tonight, 9 o'clock. That's on Fox.
It's a funny show. Yeah. And I had no idea that this was a legendary two flights, Preston. The flight from LA to Vegas. And back. It's basically like a big party plane.
Mm-hmm. Steve, yesterday you were talking about TV shows that for you aren't all the way there. This is that for me. Like,
yeah.
I think it has a lot of potential, and I've laughed a couple of times, and then other points you're like, all right,
no,
I can see where they're going with it.
You're right. It's more there than like Supreme Donuts.
Right.
But yeah, it could go further, but they're on the right path.
All right, there you go. So I got an entertainment for you. Let us give away the first of the passes for this movie I've been anticipating for quite some time. It's called Ready Player One. We have the screening Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. Doesn't hit theaters everywhere until March 30th. You will need to be there by 6:30. It's a little bit of an earlier screening for us. So let's take five callers, 215-263-WMMR. Once again, it's a week from today at the UA King of Prussia. You need to be there by 6:30. So five callers, you get the passes. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. A bunch of stuff on the show today.
93.3 WMMR.
Online, on demand, and on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD and HD2. MM Archives Channel.
Hey, just a heads up, slots are already filling up for Kathy's 11th annual Kathy's Cuts, benefiting wigs for kids. We got a bunch of signups yesterday. It's taking place Friday, April 13th, True Beauty Concepts in Southampton, PA. So follow the guidelines on PrestonSteve.com and get signed up soon before you lose that prime spot that you want to get.
Yeah, I think it's halfway filled already.
That's excellent. Yeah. We just announced it yesterday.
I know, but I was getting a lot of emails leading up to it, people wondering, you know, when we were going to make the announcement, when they could sign up. So I know that there are a lot of people that want to get their hair cut, so make sure you sign up early. Don't wait.
Yep, and you get a cut and a style, the whole deal from Gravity Hair Salon, Salon Fiber, and David Arnold Hair Salon. So get on board with that before everything fills up. So last night I went out and played golf because I knew we had nasty weather coming. It was actually a halfway decent day yesterday, so I got out.
There's a golf course right across the street from you.
So anyhow, I'd every time I play golf, my back gets sore now. So my wife decided, I was complaining about my back. She's like, well, at least let me put some essential oils on there.
Ooh. Oils, that's nice.
I'll put some peppermint and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. Are you into the essential oils?
You know what? I'm not. No, but I mean, it's like a huge craze now.
Oh, my God. We have a rack.
Yeah.
Like five levels of racks filled with essential oils. We have the diffusers and all that.
Yeah, explain the essential oil thing to me.
It's these oils that are really,
and they're essential.
Yeah, they're essential. You can't live without them.
Like Fusel oil.
No, but they're concentrated scents, and I mean like they're strong, dude. Just the tiniest little drop, and you get this huge scent that comes out.
Which is why I think I'm not into it because I have that sense of smell, and I think it would just be too much for me.
So she hates colognes.
Yes,
she puts on this deep heating stuff on my back, and then she puts the peppermint, and then I started getting a migraine. I think that it bothers me, but you know, put in the lemongrass.
Here's a little migraine inducer.
So she's way into it, and I know a ton of people who are. It's a booming industry.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I burnt my finger on a curling iron at a friend's house, and she goes, get the lavender. Can you grab the lavender for Kathy?
I know.
I was like, what? Oh, so
suddenly you're like an Indian medicine woman.
Yes, uh-huh. Totally.
Yes.
Yeah, so Preston, my girlfriend and your wife get along well already. And this will only add to that relationship.
Okay, she's into it as well.
Very much so.
It's homeopathic. Some people use it for treatments and things like that.
Right. There's no medical basis for any of it. But that's okay. You know, and some of it's psychosomatic.
Because they're essential.
Because they're essential.
You have pancreatic cancer. Bring me the rosebud.
Right, exactly. Well, I saw this story. A suspected link between abnormal breast growth in young boys and the use of lavender and tree oils has been given new weight after a study found 8 chemicals contained in the oils interfere with hormones.
This is wild that you bring this up, because yesterday I saw an 11-year-old boy with a rockin' rack.
Wow. Then it might be this. Gynecomastia is rare, and there is often no obvious cause, but there have been a number of cases linked to use of these essential oils.
The essential oils are the culprit.
The American study found that key chemicals in the oils boost estrogen and inhibit testosterone. But not everyone will have the same reaction to an essential oil.
Yeah, I've heard this before because when I was in Austin, I stayed at this really great bed and breakfast. And the soap that they had was this really great organic lavender soap. So I looked it up and I talked about it on like Twitter or whatever. And somebody said, watch out, lavender causes man boobs.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yes.
Okay. I love the smell of lavender. Yeah. Like, to me, it smells like a spa. I've never used any soap. I obviously have no reason to use shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't never applied it, but I do like the smell.
So the plant-derived oils are found in a number of products, such as, like Casey said, soaps, lotions, shampoos, hairstyling products are also popular as alternative cleaning products and medical treatments. Lead researcher J. Tyler Ramsey from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences suggested caution when using the oils. A growing number of reported cases of male gynecomastia have coincided with topical exposure to the oils.
All right. So, and I've seen actually there was a guy, I think it was Dr. Phil, a young man who had, for all intents and purposes, full breasts.
And boobies.
Had boobs. Yep. Yeah. And they were saying, obviously, it was a bit of an anomaly, but not so much that there aren't a number of guys who have this.
Well, apparently after they stopped using the products, the symptoms subsided.
Wow.
So, you know, it's temporary boobs. Hmm.
So for example, if you're a guy and you know you're going to be going to a wedding and you want to look good in your low cut
right
suit shirt,
About a month ahead
about
of time.
About a month, start applying lavender.
Start using it, yeah.
Work them boobs up.
They found that lavender and tea tree oil had properties that competed with or hindered the hormones that control male characteristics, which could affect puberty and growth.
So, but with a woman, it would not have the same effect, would it?
I guess not. I don't know. The new study looked at 8 key chemicals from the hundreds that make up the oils. 4 of the tested chemicals appeared to in both oils, and the others were in either oil.
Please slow down. I'm writing this down.
They were tested on human cancer cells in the laboratory to measure the changes. The researchers found all 8 demonstrated varying degrees of promoting estrogen and or inhibiting testosterone properties.
This is all so wild because you hear about all of the hormones in the different foods we eat, and that is why people are maturing much faster, why younger kids look older than they are. It's a wild, it's like a big lab experiment.
Yeah. But I know we've got just tons of these oils, which is great because they're easy gifts to buy for people who are into it.
Yeah.
You can just buy these little oils. They sell them everywhere.
Here's some of the crap you like there.
Yeah, exactly. Here, do you want some more of this crap? I got some of it for you.
I got a whole drum of this crap.
You know what somebody told me, though, about those oils is that, I forget, I don't know, is essential oil the brand name?
No, I think it's
okay.
They're essential.
So yeah. There's these oils that, like, there's, you know, people are selling on Facebook and they're having the parties and all that kind of stuff. But that those can get pretty expensive, but they have like the exact same oils, just not with that brand name on it. And it's the same thing you can buy, you know, at Whole Foods or, you know, anywhere really.
You can get them much cheaper. Uh-huh. They're called relatively unnecessary oils.
Okay. My wife even has a mini diffuser in the car, plugs into the.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, so my wife has one in the bedroom. She got it as a gift.
Plugs into the adapter, and then you drop the oils in there.
And it glows. And hers glows like blue and changes different colors, and a little bit of the odor comes out.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that, we have the Glade plugins. Is that essentially what that is?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
All right.
It's not essential.
Yeah, it's Jack's low rent Glade plug. Come on, man. Well, we're trying to cure diseases here.
Whatever scent my wife bought this past time, I hate it. I can't stand it. I walk in the house, I'm like, I just don't like that smell.
Sandalwood, is it?
I don't know. It's like some sort of stupid flower.
Fistula?
Yeah.
They have Steve, the varieties that you can get are just ridiculous. It's just, it's all over the place.
Whatever
I like these. You got some candles a while ago, Preston. I still have the one here, which is, what is it? It is, Restraining Order is the name of this.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever the lobby of the hotel used, I enjoyed that smell, actually.
What hotel? Oh, the one in Florida?
The Sheraton.
A lot of times it is a lavender sort of smell. I think that's one of the most common used in spas and hotels.
Maybe the name was Hotel Lobby. You never know.
Hotel Lobby.
Oh, we're getting a lot of texts, and there is some information to back this up, that essential oils are not so great for your pets. And this is, you know, a lot of this is up for debate, but some of their articles come from the poison pet. The pet poison helpline.
Yeah,
so they're eating it, not just in. Well,
and then
it.
They can actually cross. It's transdermally, Casey, so it can be effective and damaging to a pet through its skin.
Hey, Press, how is your 40-year-old cat doing with the essential oils?
My 40-year-old cat.
Yeah, you have like a really old cat, don't you?
Well, she died last year.
See,
thanks for being a good friend.
It was at that moment when Casey realized his foot had been firmly placed in his mouth.
Died last year?
Yeah. Why do you think? Remember, I told, that's why we got the dogs.
Don't you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I had told you that we would never bring dogs into the house where the cat is on its last leg going, are you serious?
You brought these?
You are bringing these into the house now.
I do not recall your cat dying at all.
Bringing up a painful memory.
So did you have to kill it yourselves? Like, or
yeah, we strangled it.
Okay. Yeah, with a nail gun. Yeah. That's how you knew about the whole deal yesterday. Got some essential oil on it, and they knew the humane thing to do was to put a nail to its skull.
Right, exactly. But I tied fishing wire around its neck first. And
right.
Tightened.
There you go.
I want to be sure.
There's another thing. Teas. There are some teas that claim that they can help you nod off, okay? And lavender plays there's into this as well. So
is this your new character, the Witch Doctor?
You know what? I guess I could be, right?
Do you have any sort of tribal
music?
You know what?
Wait a minute.
Actually.
There was also, Marissa, there was a club song in the 1990s called The Witch Doctor. See if you can find that. Or, and then there's
Bing bang. You're coming up with all sorts of ointments and scents and all sorts of.
I like a new character here, The Witch Doctor.
So I like trying Sleepy Time tea at night. And again, I don't know if it's psychosomatic, but it helped me go to sleep. Help me go to sleep.
Help me go to sleep.
Nick won't go sleepy. there are people who swear by these Sleepy Time teas. Remember, what is it, Twinings or
yeah.
What was it for? They were all the rage for a while.
Chamomile.
Yeah. And it was the same thing with, what you have, full paralysis of the central nervous system. Have Morning Glory.
Right.
And they were just like the way, I guess, essential oils are now all the rage. They were for a while.
Yeah. Well, these don't work. Katie Pandy, a senior herbal advisor.
What's the name?
Katie Pandy. Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
What did you think I said?
I thought it's Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
Patty Carey. Who is a senior herbal advisor at herbal tea company Puka Herbs.
I am a senior herbal advisor at Puka Herbs.
Says that chamomile and lavender help you relax, but they don't actually aid you with sleep.
It's really hokum and hooey.
By the way, tea has...
depending on the tea. The caffeine in it?
It's got some caffeine
not
in it,
not necessarily.
Right?
And okay. Full-blown, free-floating cancerous tumors in those teas.
I was wondering what those were. They bubble to the top sometimes. Chamomile contains chamazuline.
Is it a stripper? Isn't that, I had one time. No, that's M. Night Shyamalan's Halloween party.
No, that's Shyamaween.
Oh.
Not chamazuline.
Got a date Saturday night with chamazuline.
No, it's chamazuline, which is proven to relax the nervous system, and apeganin, which is
the flying horse.
No, that's Pegasus. Oh.
You're way off here.
It's hard to follow.
Which is apparently a mild sedative.
All right, so to this point, when they've said, for example, warm milk before you go to bed, has that been disproven, or does that actually aid in helping you go to sleep?
I don't know.
I think it just helps people relax.
You're the witch doctor. What does it do?
Yeah, I don't think it does anything. So, by the way, warm milk. I can't say I've ever had warm milk. I like milk ice cold.
Oh, no. Not for me, man.
No?
You like warm milk?
I like room temperature milk.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Like out of the teat.
I used to work at a restaurant, and they had the milk dispenser, and it came out ice cold, and it was so yummy, really, really, really cold. So anyhow, lavender has been shown to relax the mind and body. She adds that
it
only one
the mind and the body
one herb is scientifically proven to help us sleep, and that's valerian root.
Oh my God, your back is so tense.
That's like valerian steel.
What I was thinking. However, it smells like cat pee.
Are you playing golf or something?
It smells like cat pee?
Yeah.
This is the worst ever.
Valerian root.
That's not going to help Kathy relax at all.
Yeah. Oh, my God, no.
I am stressed out just thinking about it.
I got to get up. The cat piss somewhere.
Listen, it smells like cat piss, and you need to drink 8 cups of tea.
Sure.
Containing it for it to make you sleepy.
And then they
found out stuff like this, like horny goat weed. You remember that was another one that was the
herbal
things that. And I really want to see definitive data on this, not the herb, the Commodore of herbatology at Puka Shell Ranch, wherever the hell that woman's credits were from.
But you got to drink a gallon of this stuff to get tired. And then you're going to be up every half hour taking a whiz.
You'd have to drink a gallon before bed? Well, why don't you just keep like a big gerbil jar of water on the wall and just go up through the night?
Yep. All night long. I don't know. Listen to the witch doctor. That's me.
I didn't know that was the name of that
That's
song.
That's actually a wellness incantation.
You didn't know that was the name of the song?
No, I know the song well.
To the Witch Doctor and the Witch Doctor. Here.
You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart.
He says he goes to the Witch Doctor.
And he better cover this.
So much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say.
Okay. Man, they don't make those songs like they used to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That was a protest song.
Was it?
Yeah. It was about the Vietnam War.
No, it wasn't.
How much of any of this is legit?
Do you want to hear a 90s version of that song?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right.
The Witch Doctor.
There you go. The Witch Doctor. The Witch Doctor. The Witch Doctor.
That's good, too.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's the one, Preston. The Witch
Doctor. I like it. I like them both. All right,
you come to see the witch doctor.
I think I have some other witch doctor-ish type of...
I have a feeling that a substantial amount of this stuff... There are people, though, who claim that if they go the holistic way, one of them being Dirk Benedict from Battlestar Galactica and the A-Team, he swears he was able to cure his cancer going this holistic way. And changing his diet and all that stuff.
I think
you're flirting with disaster.
I don't believe the non-tested stuff. I just, you know, there may be some some validity to it, but until it's been proven, I mean?
There's a difference between trying to get some sleep a little bit earlier and curing cancer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So holistic tea when it comes to crashing at 9:30 versus curing pancreatic cancer.
It depends on what essential oil you use, Nick.
That's right. All right, one last thing from the Witch Doctor.
The Witch Doctor.
this could be my favorite new character.
Should I speak differently when I
No, do? No, no. No. Okay, all right, because somebody's going to claim that you're...
Well, I'm not going to... I'll be appropriating.
It'll be cultural appropriation. Yeah. It'll be all these
Plus, I can't keep an accent for that long anyway. All right, male birth control might be a reality sooner than we thought. A new small study presented in Chicago, the annual Endocrine Society meeting, found an experimental drug called dimethandrolone.
Okay.
Or DMAU is both safe and effective.
They're in a legal battle with the Institute of Pulling Out.
Aha.
For most effective method.
Dude, the IOPO.
I always thought that method was very, very difficult. I don't know if you guys are in the same boat, but...
I tend to do it in a bedroom.
Yeah. What did I say?
In the same boat. Oh.
Generally, when I'm in a boat with other people,
yeah. You don't want to do that.
I'm not doing it.
Unless they've already gone diving.
Shell, that was our method for years.
All right, so I guess you're practiced at it.
Yeah. As with me.
A guy with a fire hose for the first time.
But I would do this right before. I'd say, hey, watch this.
Well, what I would do is I would set up paper ducks on the bureau. Ding! No, Preston, it was something you... It was something... Like when you were a young buck, it was harder, but I think after a while, I was good at it as well, and it was my preferred method. I was never, you know... this was always with people I was involved in a relationship with of you know...
Oh, yeah.
Length. It was never playing Russian roulette.
No, you got some soldiers
in there, like, you know, that are...
Deserters.
That are early deployment, you know?
They've got their papers.
Yes.
Yeah.
The advanced infantry. Yes.
They're recon.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have all the camo on.
It is not a recommended method.
No, it's not.
In any way, shape, or form, do not do that. Never, ever, ever trust that. But anyhow, they're coming along. Uh-huh. I guess.
Keep going.
In a month-long trial involving 83 men, the drug was found to lower hormone levels without signs of testosterone deficiency or excess.
That's a dangerous area.
Study authors said that there was marked suppression of testosterone and of two hormones necessary for a man to produce sperm for those who took 400 milligrams of DMAU, the highest dose.
Do you know, like, for example, when for a while, remember the Androgel was all the rage and the testosterone replacement? Yeah. I was on it per a doctor's recommendations. And then you found out it's the kind of thing that could actually exacerbate your likelihood of getting prostate cancer.
Which you did.
Which I did get. Now, it doesn't mean... I'm not going to say there's an absolute cause or effect or certainly what the story is. I'm just glad it's out of my life. But you notice they stopped doing that. When you start effing with hormones in the body, you know, Dr. Mike goes nuts about this all the time, and he's right.
What does Dr. Mike think of the birth control pill for women? Because that's what that's doing. I mean, it's messing with women's hormones.
Yeah.
Some women need it, though, to control their menstrual
cycle. You control a lot with it.
On a health level, it's prescribed for acne, for my acne situation, and they prescribed it, and it cleared it right up.
Yeah, but I would be very hesitant. Male birth control, I mean, you know what? I wouldn't feel safe. It just doesn't – I mean, women have used it for so long that that's – become tried and true. Not 100%, but it's pretty damn effective.
I think if you've ever locked your keys in your car, you're probably not going to do well with remembering a pill.
Every single day.
Yeah, that used to be the big thing, remembering to take the pill. I remember in the early days of birth control.
Take care of it.
More research is needed before DMAU becomes a viable option for male birth control. But this drug is considered a major step forward in the development of a once-daily male pill.
Hmm.
So it might happen. And that's coming from
the Witch Doctor.
The last thing you want to be is a young man in school walking around pregnant.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody's whispering.
Yeah.
Because
we're all talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you guys got the snip, right, President Casey? So you don't have to worry about this.
I had snip. Yeah. I had the entire division. Shy of all the external equipment, Aaron runs fine and everything, but the entire factory was shut down and the workers were sent home.
Yeah. I can still make babies.
And there's no more product.
It's like we had a blowout sale. Yeah.
The equipment still works,
but it still works.
Nothing is produced.
No, except some confetti and streamers.
Yeah, and a little, it makes that noise. All right. You know what? We should probably end with this music, though.
My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to do.
Yep.
I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Walla walla bing bang.
Was this Zeppelin's first hit?
It was Zeppelin's first hit. It was a demo.
Yeah.
And then they got noticed by the record companies. All right, we should take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I got the B-File on the way. We have an announcement on
the way. Yes! Very exciting.
Yes, we'll come back in a moment with that. And we're also going to find out what the deal is with this 1-2 Nor'easter coming in. We'll be back in a moment.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30, Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes!
So
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So listener Gerard is here. It's Tattoos Day. Gerard is getting our first ever Black Panther tattoo. Oh.
Very nice.
That should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how that shapes out. We're going to have Kyle M. from Philadelphia Eddies to take care of that later on. Let's do, Case, we're going to do the B-File first.
Doing that first?
Yeah, and then, then we'll make our official announcement. So let's fire that up right now.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I got some stories for y'all, and it is brought to you, the Bizarre File, this morning by Delilah's. Delilah's presents 2018 Entertainer of the Year. It's Wednesday, March 21st, with special guest host Brett Rossi. You can visit Delilah's.com for the details. Two men are accused of breaking into the home of a man they both dated, stealing several items, then leaving spaghetti sauce boiling on the stove with a washcloth placed near the burner in an attempt to start a fire.
Uh-huh.
The victim called 911 because security cameras in his home detected motion. He believes someone was breaking in.
Is spaghetti sauce an accelerant?
That's what they thought, maybe, because a towel had been placed over one of the cameras. Deputies went to the residence and saw a red Lincoln Navigator attempting to leave the area. A stop was conducted, and the driver, John Silva, and passenger Derek Irving told the deputy that they had just picked up some clothes from the victim's house.
This had to be Derek. He loves Italian.
The deputy said that she could see a marijuana grinder in the center console and a vacuum, a window AC unit, flat screen television and heater in the back seat. An empty jar of Ragu spaghetti sauce was also on the passenger seat.
That's probably what I would use.
Smoking gun.
Exactly.
Deputies said...
So who was drinking the marinara sauce?
Deputy said both men initially denied burglarizing the victim's home, instead saying that Irving told Silva he lived at the home and needed to ride there to retrieve some clothes and other items. The home reeked of smoke when deputies entered it. A pot of spaghetti sauce was found burning on the stove while a white washcloth placed near the burner that had just began to catch fire was there.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The victim said he was trying to make it look like I left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 a.m. and fixes sketty?
That is the question, isn't it?
And that's how he said it, Sketty.
Sketty.
The deputy extinguished the flames, then continued searching the home. Evidence at the scene revealed that Silva and Irving broke into the home, covered the security camera, stole the items, and then put Sketty sauce on the stove.
Or lasagna.
In an attempt to start the fire so the evidence would be destroyed. Silva and Irving told deputies that they both had romantic or sexual encounters with the victim in the past.
Uh-huh.
Busketti, Preston.
Busketti, right. All right, so I have, this is a terrible story.
Okay.
I'm going to back this up with a nice story, okay? But this is...
You're pre-warning us.
This is messed up, man.
All right.
A deputy, a Williamson County deputy, has been fired after allegedly beating a young girl at a barbecue restaurant. Wilco Deputy Jack Danford was at Oakwood Barbecue on March 3rd, meeting with his daughter Megan and daughter's boyfriend Davi Winstead. According to court documents, Danford told his daughter that he had been drinking all day. Now, Megan told police, this is the daughter, she's an adult, that while having another beer with them, Danford noticed a small dog and petted it. A young girl then came up to start playing with the dog. Megan told police that's when her father jumped out of his seat and tackled this 12-year-old girl out of nowhere.
What the hell's that about?
Danford then began punching the girl in the face.
Oh.
Jeez.
Megan said she tried to kick and grab and hit her own father in an attempt to get him off of this 12-year-old girl. Her boyfriend also reportedly tried, but without success. Another man, Russell Cope, who knew the victim, told police that he was unloading wood for the restaurant when the young girl went to retrieve Cope's dog. That's when he says he heard screams that sounded like bloody murder. He said, I seen him on top of her. He was hammer-fisting her. It was like UFC style. He ran into the patio and attempted to punch Danford in the face, but he told police it didn't faze the former deputy, and that's when Cope kicked Danford with his steel-toed boot in the head.
God almighty.
And Danford finally rolled off the victim and appeared unconscious.
Was this guy jacked up on something?
I don't know. He'd just been drinking.
Just been drinking.
He'd been at the bar. He'd been at the restaurant drinking all day, he said. Megan told police that there had been no prior interaction between the young girl and the father. The dude just went
snapped
crazy out of nowhere. Police responded to the scene. They arrested Dan for public intoxication, which police say he resisted.
How's the girl?
The victim was taken to the hospital for treatment for her injuries. Danford is now being charged with injury to a child, a third-degree felony. How messed up is that? I don't know how bad her injuries were, Steve, but I've never heard of anything like that before.
That's a bad story. Now we need a good one.
Well, sometimes suspicious packages are just good packages in disguise. Such a package was delivered to Our Lady of Grace Church in Hoboken, New Jersey on Wednesday. And the Reverend Alex Santora was initially suspicious because it had no return address on it. After police responded and made sure that the box did not contain any explosives, they opened it.
Well, first they sent out a robot priest.
And they found a baby Jesus statue and a note that read in part, "To whom it may concern. My mom told me that the baby Jesus had been stolen from the church nativity display at Our Lady of Grace when she was a young girl of about 12 years of age in the early 1930s.
Wow.
It came into her father's possession somehow, and I don't know why he didn't return it. Knowing the story, I felt it should be returned to the rightful owner, and you will find it enclosed." So it was over 90 years ago.
That's amazing.
And it's been returned. Santora applauded the sender for doing the right thing. So there's your nice story.
But he's hired private investigators to hunt them down and prosecute them to the full extent of the law.
To the full extent of the law. Good luck finding them. All right, and then we'll do one more story and wrap up. In Florida, the Oskaloosa County Sheriff's Office is busy this spring break season. Oskaloosa sheriffs tweeted a photo of a group of people arrested on St. Patrick's Day, reminding everyone that they have zero tolerance for underage drinking. But what's shocking about this photo is that the bus riders have smiles on their faces.
It's very funny.
Not showing any remorse for their actions. And in fact, one girl is even showing off her handcuffs in the picture.
They're having a great time.
It's spring break after all.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. Okay, so we have an announcement to make.
Ooh, very exciting.
Ooh. Yeah, this is a good thing.
Do this?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are excited to announce a new sponsor of the Preston and Steve Show, and with it comes some pretty cool things that we're excited about. And we officially want to give word that, until further notice, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show is Dunkin' Donuts!
How the hell did that? We got Dunkin' Donuts.
We're excited about
it. We are excited.
Absolutely. Because it comes with it some cool stuff that they're going to do around here. So we'd like to welcome
The senior manager of integrated marketing, we have Jackie. Is it Cohen?
Keon.
How are you, Jackie?
Yeah. I'm great. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, are you kidding me? We're stoked about it. We love, we're big fans of Dunkin' Donuts. Why? We have Dunkin' Donuts in here at least once a week.
We do.
We don't even ask for it.
And it just
shows
comes,
up.
Yes, yeah.
Shows up. And we love that. But, yeah, so you're going to be fully integrated into the Preston and Steve show. We love that. And you guys are going to, you're going to set up something special out in our green room, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have coffee and hot chocolate brewing every day.
So we're going to have a station, Steve.
Whoa. Steve, like,
it's,
Steve
I'm
is
so
like in
happy.
Glory.
I'm literally, I mean, I was emotional when I got married, but ain't nothing like this.
Yeah.
The hot chocolate is definitely for you, Steve.
Well, yes, thank you. And it's, as I said, it is a full bodied hot chocolate, frothy. And warm to the touch.
Creamy was the word you used earlier.
Creamy, yes. Creamy. No, it's going to be awesome, and we're very excited about this because, again, you guys have all our favorite foods, so that's it's very cool.
And we particularly love your donuts.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, so explain what happened, Preston.
What, out here?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so they brought in custom-made donuts for the Preston and Steve show, and every single they brought in a dozen donuts each, all with our faces on them. Which is pretty awesome. Casey, I think yours is my favorite. Although Marissa's is awesome, too. She looks fantastic.
Are they all the same donut flavor?
They are.
Okay.
All right, so my daughter wants to know what kind, because I have to bring at least one home for her.
It is a jelly-filled.
Okay. Ooh.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Jelly-filled. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, they look lovely. The fact that you can do that is very cool. Is that something somebody off the street could come in and request?
Yes. We have stores all around the market that'll do customized donuts.
Oh, I did not know that.
And by the way, you know what else I didn't know?
What?
How many Dunkin' Donuts in the Philadelphia area?
About 615.
Dear God. How do you even keep track of that many? I was thinking statewide there might be 615, but in this general area, 600.
In the Philadelphia market, wow. 615.
Well, I'm sure you know. I've said it a number of times. Of course, my first job was Dunkin' Donuts. I'm kind of revered in the company.
Yeah.
I was I was a porter. I think one of my high watermarks was when I accidentally opened the door on someone in the bathroom. That was very cool.
I thought it was when you created mustard gas by accident.
Oh, yes. I mixed
a mop bucket.
Yeah, I was attempting to get a really good clean on the floor, so I mixed Ajax with Clorox, which is mustard gas. Yeah. So that was so. Oops. Besides two mishaps, it was a lot of fun.
You're legendary.
They now have checks and balances at Dunkin' Donuts.
The check is to make sure I don't come into
that
Dunkin'
Donuts. That is correct. Yeah. Steve never
Our
gets
sanitary practices have improved.
Dramatically, yes.
And Jackie, there's a special going on as well you wanted to mention?
Yeah, right now we have $2 any size iced coffee. Perfect.
Ooh, $2 any size.
Any size. So come in right now, any size, any flavor, all day long.
When is $2 for all the sizes? Who the hell opts for the small size?
Well, you never know. Some people don't like a lot of caffeine.
Okay, all right.
I only get the small size when it's later in the day, because if I got the larger size, I'd drink it all, so I just get the smaller size to contain myself.
So that's why we decided to make it $2 any size. If you want it big, we have a big. Okay. If you want it small, we have a small.
You know, the iced coffee stuff is really very popular. I'm still old school. I like the hot coffee, but are you surprised how big iced coffee's become for Dunkin' Donuts?
It's one of our biggest sellers.
Yeah.
And people love it with flavors. So right now we've got Girl Scout flavors, and Thin Mints is so popular.
So the actual Girl Scout cookies that you love are now represented in these flavors.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Casey, by the way, what was the breakfast sandwich you were going off on?
Oh, man. Yesterday? Well, they discontinued it, Preston. I didn't know. At the end of February, it was a steak, egg, and cheese. And
well, we know Jackie here.
I know.
I'll try to put in a good word.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you put out things and you test market them and you try them and see how they work. And if they're a big hit, they stick around.
And right now we're finding that everybody loves everything with bacon.
Yeah. Okay.
Bacon
so it's
is
all
the, yes.
The bacon. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's the uphill battle for steak is bacon and sausage, yeah. You know?
The yeah. uphill battle.
Yeah.
It was a story of an uphill battle, steak and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
The war that steak has to fight versus the other processed meats.
Well, breakfast meats, yeah.
Breakfast
I mean, it's
meats,
really,
sure.
really tough. But, I got it one time on a lark right before my son's soccer game. I want to say it was last year, and it was a revelation.
Okay.
And I was hoping.
You put it in your journal?
Well, I was hoping to let everybody know today that the steak, egg, and cheese is legit, but it's...
Well, I think you're making a good case for perhaps it to be brought back. I have to ask one or two questions. What's your most popular donut?
Well, I would have to say between the Boston cream and the chocolate sprinkle, those two seem to rise to the top.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be glazed.
Chocolate glazed is my favorite.
The greatest donut ever created, in my humble opinion, is the crawler.
Yeah, the crawler.
It's so unique.
It's light and airy.
It's light and airy, but it's got so much flavor.
Well, in the Philadelphia market specifically, everyone seems to love the sour cream.
What? Sour cream.
Oh, wow. Sour
We're
cream
a fickle lot.
Is yeah. very popular in Philadelphia.
I haven't tried that.
By the way, cream donut.
It's delicious.
We're really? Forgetting very competitive bagels, and they are.
Yeah.
I'm from New York, you know, initially. Oh, okay. So. And the muffins.
Yeah, good muffins.
Yeah.
Muffins are great.
Yeah, good muffins.
One of my personal favorites is our wake-up wraps.
Wake-up wraps, you say?
Wake-up wraps, I did say.
What are they?
They are fabulous. It's egg, cheese, bacon, egg, cheese, ham, egg, cheese, sausage, or just egg and cheese.
Casey, you might have found a replacement for your sandwich.
No.
Wait, is this in a flour tortilla or something?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and guys, don't sleep on the hash browns, all right? The hash browns are legit.
I tried sleeping and my shirt got old.
Aren't they flavored? Don't they have like some...
They got a little
kick to
them. They
got a little Parmesan cheese
mm-hmm.
on
it. Ooh. Yum. Well, we're very excited about all these options.
We are, absolutely. And we're stoked that you guys are the official coffee. And that'll mean a lot of great Dunkin' Donuts giveaways that we're going to have for you as well.
Things we can pass along to you. And you see this cool gift... Suckers in
Yeah, I took a look at that. I haven't had a chance.
Coolers and stuff. It's
really
awesome.
Absorb it all. But we want to thank you for supporting our show. We appreciate it very much. We can't bring our radio show to you, wonderful people of the Delaware Valley, without sponsors. And that's why we want to thank Dunkin' Donuts for being here.
Oh, we're happy to be here.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, let's hear it for Jackie.
Dunkin' Donuts!
Bringing us some wonderful news. The Dunkin' Donuts is now the official coffee of the President Steve Show. That means we pass along some awesome stuff to you, and we will be doing that. And if you're ever here a studio visit, you will be able to partake upon our wonderful new coffee bar.
Yes.
Coffee and hot chocolate bar that we will have here. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Everybody's talking about the weather, and what does this next nor'easter mean for you specifically? We're going to find out. Brittany Schiff from NBC 10 will be here in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of chit-chat about mm-hmm. the weather and what exactly we can expect, because we have a nor'easter 1-2 punch, which is coming in our way. And yesterday... I think it was early yesterday. They were flirting with 2, 3, 4 inches,
slushy,
maybe something like
mix.
That. Yeah, and the wintry mix and all that stuff. But things have changed a little bit since then. So
it's become kiss your children.
We are welcoming into our studio for the first time, which is lovely to meet her. She's been away for a couple of years now. Back at NBC 10 is meteorologist Brittany Schiff.
Yay.
Wow, such a nice, warm welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Brittany. All right, let's get to the specifics.
Yes,
real quick.
Very
here,
specific.
So. Yeah.
Okay, if you live in Philly, PA suburb, 6 to 12 inches is what we're calling for. Lehigh Valley.
Oh what?
I know.
6 to 12. So
I know.
6 to 12
it's
inches.
It's called Stay Home Tomorrow. That's actually
remember?
What we're naming this system for tomorrow. Go ahead and make your plans and stay home.
Do you remember yesterday I was saying, and I said 2 inches.
Dusting.
It'll be, you know, nothing to worry about.
So, Brittany, what shifted? Because it seemed to be.
What happened? Well, yesterday we had higher amounts as well.
Yeah.
But we keep moving these amounts up. So this system just looks like it's going to be colder, it's going to be stronger, and it's going to be an all-day event. So we want to make sure we're getting it out right now that I know.
We appreciate it, though, because three nor'easters back, it kind of sucker punched us. And we were up doing a remote at the in the Poconos and got caught. And it seems like this scenario is sort of a replication of that. Will it be similar to that in severity?
Yes. And here's the thing.
No.
Here's the thing. Like, similar to today, everyone walks out, they go to work, they're like, oh, this isn't so bad. But then it revs up as the day goes on. So when you're heading home from work today, we're still going to see slippery roads, wintry mix. Now our wind speeds are picking up. This is at this afternoon into this evening. Now by tomorrow, that's when everything turns from the rain and the wintry mix all to snow.
And that's happening at what time tomorrow?
That's happening early tomorrow morning. So we'll see that right around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So when you get up, hopefully you're not going to work.
We are.
Oh, we'll be here.
And you are too, probably.
I'll definitely be. I'll
you're
probably be back
there.
In by midnight tonight. So that's fine.
All right. So for tonight, just to get the clarification on all the issues, tonight's rush hour, it's not going to be wonderful, but it'll be okay.
It'll be okay. It'll still be slippery, windy conditions. So this system is already starting right now, rain in Cape May. So again, it's starting already. This afternoon, you still want to be careful. If you can grab the kids earlier, why don't you do that today? By tomorrow, all snow.
strong winds, 40, 50 miles per hour, 60 miles per hour by the shore. All this heavy, wet snow on the tree limbs and power lines.
Weakened tree limbs and power lines.
So we're looking at more outages.
More outages.
Dude, and this keeps happening on trash day. Like, this is the third time where it's like, oh, we're suspending our trash collection. I'm like, dude,
it's building
just
up.
Piles up in my garage.
May I suggest something? You do something we did when we first moved into the house. I bought 200 garbage cans just so you can lock and load.
Brittany, when will it start to accumulate?
That'll be tomorrow during the day. This is going to start in the morning and continue through the entire day. So you might see tonight, we might up our snow totals right now.
So what is it the nature of a late, now we're technically in spring, but of a late year for winter storms to be more robust?
You know, it's just a case-by-case basis. So with this particular one, we have a lot of moisture coming up from the south, and then we're going to start to see a lot of that cold air wrapping around. So it's going to take a while. That's why it's going to start right now as a wintry mix rain. But by tomorrow, once that cold air, that nor'easter pulls cold air in from the northeast and from the north, so you get that wrapped around with all the moisture, you combine it all together, and that's when you get that accumulating, nasty, blowing snow.
And that's a classic nor'easter,
that's
correct?
A classic nor'easter. Plus, our temperatures are going to drop below freezing, which is going to be cold enough to support the snow.
Give me a reason to live.
I was ready to put my snowblower away.
No.
Don't do it.
I take it down. I stash it in the basement when the season's over, and I was ready to do it.
I make the mistake of thinking that because on the calendar it's late March and because it's the first day of spring and because we were in Clearwater a few days ago, that that warm weather is right around the corner. But I'm just an idiot and wrong.
No, you are wrong this time, but I'm not going to say you're an idiot.
We have to stay here tonight.
I won't go that far.
Brittany, I remember, and this has happened more than once, where there have been fairly substantial snowstorms in April.
All the way up to Easter.
All the way up to Easter.
When I lived here last time, all the way up to Easter.
Speaking of which, Brittany has moved back from San Francisco.
In the middle of winter. That's how much I love Philly. Let's just put that on the record there.
Is that, for a meteorologist, would you rather have exciting stuff like big snowstorms to talk about?
This has been nonstop. So I arrived in January on a Tuesday. By Thursday, we had the snow cyclone move through, the bombogenesis, the first one. Yeah. So it's never a dull moment in Philly. And then we went to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just been like a crazy 2 months. It's been amazing.
Did you guys watch any of the weather reports when we were in Tampa? It was just like, hey, it's going to be 78 and sunny for the next five straight days.
You're just rubbing it in now. We don't want to hear that right now.
No, but I mean, like, the work that the meteorologist has to do in Tampa is not quite as complicated as a
Not quite.
Unless, I don't know. They do have hurricanes. Okay, so now it's up to a foot, but it may worsen as the day goes on.
It might worsen as we get more we rely on those models, and as they come in, we might up the snow totals.
What general area will get hit worse? Is it western and
right
northern?
Now the bullseye is right along that I-95 corridor.
It's always the I-95 corridor.
Yeah, not always, but on this particular system, that's what we're calling for. So right now it's 6 to 12 inches. Lehigh Valley, 4 to 8. South Jersey, 4 to 8. Right along the shore, 2 to 5. But that could go up.
Now, lately, things have been getting more severe as they head up north into New England. Is that going to be the case on this one,
that
too?
Will probably be the case on this one, too.
Poor Seth.
I know.
First they lose the Super Bowl, and now this.
Don't feel too bad for them.
So Boston's going to get hammered?
Yeah, Boston's going to get hammered. They have colder air in place, and that system's going to just track right closer to Boston.
Okay.
All right, so what is my commute going to be like at 5 in the morning? Should I stay here tonight?
Well, you said it's going to start coming down around 2 to 30.
It's not going to be good at all tomorrow during the entire day. So if you can come in really early or stay, that's what I would suggest.
Okay.
I know. I'll be there. I'll Everybody's be right there so with you.
I know.
Can I come back when the weather's nice, you guys? I don't like this as my introduction.
Please.
No, it's cool. You're making it better, more and more palpable. So, it's interesting because I don't remember this many successive nor'easters like this in, I don't know when I've ever encountered this many formidable storms.
We thought we were
out of it.
I know.
We thought it was over.
This will be our fourth just in the month of March. So has been an incredible last couple of weeks here.
Okay, well, welcome back to Philly.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
She's actually got to go. And may I say, you are a stunning young woman.
Oh,
are
thank you so
are
much.
Are you single, or what's a little bit about your personal life?
Well...
God.
She is actually married to a 6'9" man who is a trained killer.
I'm going to say no comment.
Okay. Yeah, we'll hold it at that.
Understood. Well, listen, thank you for the information. We appreciate it. We don't love it, but it is what it is. And we
have the app too, NBC 10 app, and that's how you can track the weather as it changes. So thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks for breaking it to us. Appreciate it. Brittany Schiff from NBC 10. We're just going to continue on. We never shut up, so we know you got to get back to work. But watch her on NBC 10, and yeah, I would imagine her and the rest of the team are probably going to be spending the night in Ballykinwood, and they're going to be staying on top of it the whole time.
Hurricane's already crying into his bow tie.
I would imagine so. God, man, I thought we were done. I thought we were finished, and of course, no.
Mm-hmm. They keep pulling us back. Somebody described it, Preston, as like the winter leaves and then comes back into the room saying, and another thing.
Right. Exactly. All right. So now foot. That's great.
Oh, that sucks. And I just got my car washed.
That's what Preston and I had. It was detailed. It looked so nice. It was waxed.
The ultimate, though. This is what life is about. Moments ago, we were learning we basically had limitless donuts.
Yeah.
And now the storm of the century.
Hey, when storms like this hit, do like Uber and Lyft and those guys still
they do.
They operate?
They do.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. I was stuck in the city for one of these, and I tried to get Uber, and no way. Like, they were I don't know, not that they weren't running, Steve. Yeah. I don't know if maybe they were, all the Uber drivers were taken up, but it was almost impossible. I had to start walking, and I was actually at a bachelorette party that still wanted to go on with, you know, with the celebrations, and they had to have the limo driver come and pick me up because I had no way to get to where they were.
I think for that, the amount of available drivers drops dramatically, A, and then B, I think the price, because they can tailor the price, skyrockets.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, and you know who else is making out pretty good as far as price goes? And although it hasn't been like a record year, but the landscaping guys who do the snow removal,
sure,
they're pretty happy this year. There was a guy that is one of the parents with my daughter's cheerleading squad, and he was telling me it wasn't last week or the week before, it worked like an 80-hour week. They went up to New England to go clear some snow. They needed people from out of town.
Oh, wow, no way.
They were looking for more people, and you can make extra money if you're willing to drive that far.
Right. And obviously, this really goes without saying, but all the PICO workers, I mean, they're just working their butts off.
So, Kathy, along Lincoln Drive, there was one area when I came back after my 8-hour trip back from the Poconos, and I pulled into, you know, heading towards my home in Mount Airy. There's a part along Lincoln Drive. It's kind of like three roads, four in a bizarre geometric pattern. Anyway, long story short, they just got the wires up and reconnected in the one part of whole deal because the two enormous trees came down. Just got it done now. So I can only imagine what this is going
to
cost.
Yep, get ready. So, you know, by now, you know what to do to prepare for it. It's not just going to the store and getting those essential things you need. Now it's having a generator and having gas for the generator and all the other things because of all the power outages that have happened.
Exactly right. I don't want to jinx it, but I think like Dr. Mike, he had a unit installed. He moved into a new house, and he had the one that'll run for 8 days.
Yep.
I think that's something I might look into just for the hell of it.
Okay. Going back to the ride apps, I saw this about Lyft.
Yes.
They said they may be changing the game a little bit. They're testing a subscription service.
I just used Lyft my first time ever using anything like Uber and Lyft when we were out in Florida.
Yeah.
For the spring.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took you so long to get to it.
I don't go anywhere unless I'm going.
It's great, isn't it?
It was actually pretty good.
It's the first time I used Uber, I'm like, this is absolutely phenomenal. They come to you, and it's just for you, and it's very, very convenient, and you don't have to do the hand of the credit card over and all that stuff.
I gave the driver 5 stars. He was conversive. He was nice. He was punctual. The car was clean. It was a good car. He was like a retiree who just wanted to pick up some extra money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I actually just downloaded the Uber and Lyft apps on my phone on Saturday night. Because I wasn't sure how I was going to get to the airport on Sunday morning. I'm like, oh, geez.
Well, although the last time I used Uber, it was when we had a calendar release party. And I got a ride back. Kathy gave me a ride to her house. And then I took an Uber the rest of the way home. And they've created a few versions that I wasn't aware of since the last time I'd used it. Because it used to just either be Uber or you get the black car, which is a little more expensive. And so I picked one of them. I hit it. It was the cheapest. It came, and it was just some dude's ratty car.
And if we would have had to pick somebody up on the way as well, if there was a fare on the way too.
Oh, really? Do me a favor. So, hold that door shut.
No, but listen, Steve, I sat in the back seat and it was so loud back there that I could barely hear what he was saying from the end, just the sound of the car.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he's talking to me, you know how lousy hearing is. And I had to lean forward the whole time. So you never know what you're getting into. But anyhow, Lyft is planning to do a subscription service. That would remove the need to pay when you travel, every time you travel. Engadget reports the subscription is called the All Access Plan. Right now it appeared to be invite only, with Lyft sending out the offer to select riders. So they're just testing it, you know.
All right.
They want to get people who are reliable and so forth and also use it a fair amount. The prices also vary from person to person, suggesting Lyft is trying to figure out what works best in terms of price, time, and free ride limits. For example, one person said, Lyft just invited me to a $199 per month all-access plan and indicated that standard Lyft rides are worth up to about $15 would be covered by that plan.
So you pay your fee, but then obviously as you're going along, at the end of the ride, you always have the option as to your tipping situation, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, I think the tip is included. You do that.
Yeah, Uber. Yeah,
you don't have to.
Well, now added a "Would you like to tip the driver?" Which I think really killed the initial idea
of it for me,
which was just like you pay this amount, they take you from there to there, and that's it, and there's no transaction that takes place.
That was the attraction of the service, it was all included.
And now it's do you want to leave a tip? And if you don't, then they're going to see that as a slight, and it's all coming around.
Thanks, loser.
Yeah.
But anyhow, you want to sit in the back, you want to read your paper, drink your coffee, and not be bothered.
But $199 per month, I'm just curious if that's a deal or not.
No, it just depends on how much you use it.
Well, that's it as well. And I'm curious about people who use like mass transit and so forth, how much they pay per month. I have no idea what I don't use mass transit and whether this would be a deal.
I think if you use it like once a month, it's well worth it.
Yeah. Once a month? No.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like if what's your car payment? You know, probably more than $199 a month plus gas, plus insurance. So if you're using it quite a bit.
Well, you know what you can do with your own car? Become a Lyft driver or an Uber driver so you can pay for your monthly subscription to Lyft and Uber.
I mean, how much is a like a SEPTA pass for a month?
I don't know. They're up there.
On where you're going and how far, too.
Really?
You know, if you just need a SEPTA pass within the city and you're only taking the bus, it's cheaper than regional rail for a month.
You can do SEPTA Plus, though, where they send you a bus and you're the only rider on it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a big limo.
Yeah, it's a big black bus.
Speaking of cars, Steve sent me this this bit of information over the other day about driving technology. And there's a consultant called McKinsey & Company, and they predict that in less than a decade, 80% of all items that are delivered by driver will be delivered autonomously. So they think that there's going to be, you know, drones and so forth and self-driven cars.
Which Uber just had an incident yesterday.
First fatality associated with a driverless car. Though there was an attendant in the car. He didn't jump in quick enough.
No, did you see that the car was going like 40 miles an hour, too, and that the accident was a good distance away from the intersection? So the pedestrian that was killed, I mean, it's awful and tragic no matter how you slice it, but the person, she was on a bike, and she was nowhere near the crosswalk.
Okay.
So they were saying
it could have
happened to anybody who was driving a car at that particular spot.
Was she walking? Right. You're not going to have a situation where people believe, people will never get hit by cars with autonomous cars. Was she walking along the sidewalk parallel, or was she crossing the street?
I think she was on a bike.
Right.
Yeah, and so she was, there's a crosswalk, there was a light and an intersection that was maybe 100 yards or so away from where, you know, in front of where the accident took place.
All right.
So, they're curious about whether or not automatically driven vehicles or auto cars, whatever you want to call them, will become passenger cars like taxis and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
But they're saying that the more likely scenario is delivery.
Like one of the things they pointed to, Preston, was the pizza delivery job, which was always one of the entry-level jobs when you were a kid, when you're a teenager, and you first got your license. That was one. You were, right? You were a pizza guy.
Yeah, it was one of my first jobs. But it says automated delivery has plenty of advantages over robo-taxi, starting with fewer safety concerns about hauling cargo instead of humans. And unlike ride hailing, driverless delivery is not dependent on the morning and evening rush when cabs are busiest. Delivery demand exists 24/7 and works best in the dead of night when there's scant traffic on the road. A robot that works almost all the time could cut two-day delivery into 2 hours.
Yeah.
And a utilitarian delivery pod, which doesn't need seats or creature comforts for occupants, can maximize return on investment.
Yeah, I'm your utilitarian delivery pod, and I got a package for you.
Yeah. So this week, Waymo, the former Google self-driving car project, begins testing autonomous big rigs hauling cargo in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's like Logan, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Ford Motor Company just began a pilot in Miami to understand how self-driving cars and vans would deliver pizza, groceries, and other goods.
There are a ton of actual vehicles now on the road that are autonomous.
Germany's Daimler AG has shown its autonomous Freightliner Inspiration truck, and Tesla Incorporated has teased a self-driving semi as logistics companies seek to eliminate human drivers that account for as much as 70% of the cost of hauling goods. So a lot of paying for moving stuff is paying the people to drive.
So they were looking,
you lose jobs.
Well, what happens also is that you people would then be more inclined to move out to more rural areas if their car is driving them to work, right? And for example, if you wanted to, a lot of people don't want to fight the traffic, but if they're sitting in the back of the car doing work while the car is driving them to work, it also changes the question about what becomes billable hours. If you're working in a moving car, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And does your job technically begin when you get in the car?
And that's not all. Toyota Motor Corporation in January unveiled a concept for autonomous vehicles that can haul people or cargo, while Renault Nissan will debut a driverless delivery vehicle at the Hanover Motor Show in September. So everybody's getting on board for this whole thing. But here's how short-haul robot delivery might work, according to those creating it. You order an item online or on your phone and specify a window of time for it to be delivered to your home or office. As the package nears its destination, you get an alert telling you to come to the curb to retrieve your merchandise from a locked compartment in the vehicle. You unlock it with a code punched into a touchpad on the side of the vehicle or by scanning a barcode texted to your phone.
So yeah.
That could work.
Sure.
Yeah. I like it. They said it's like an Amazon locker on wheels. So you come up and you retrieve the stuff. They said, though, the problem is the vehicle has the last 50-foot problem because nobody brings it to your front door.
Yeah, there are texts coming in. The stop text is like, if I have to walk out to the car to get my pizza, then the delivery service is useless.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And that's their last. It says there's no driver or pizza delivery person to get the goods from the vehicle to your front door.
That is a salient point, especially if you're calling someone because the weather's inclement.
Right.
And you want to have them come to the door and hand you that hot pizza so you can be there in your PJs all snuggly. It ruins it.
It's Wally, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's not even going to walk out the front door to go get it.
You're going to be fat and unable to walk.
Wow.
Do you guys ever use Uber Eats or a delivery service for like that?
I used it once.
I haven't either, and I don't know if I would
Why like would you want to eat an Uber driver?
No. They deliver food.
Oh.
Products.
I forget what service it was, but it was like we ordered like a full meal, and I mean, it was from a decent restaurant. I forget. It was like a steakhouse or something, but it's how food travels in a car, you know?
Right.
So, but it was still good. It was fine. It was decent enough.
There are all sorts of things at play here. The economy is gonna shift in ways we can't even imagine right now, because all of this stuff you talk about, you know, just the industry of shipping is going to change. You know, the amount of stuff that could be going on, as you said, Preston, day and night, around the clock, never stopping.
Yeah,
it's cool and it's frightening at the same time.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not a food. I used to order delivery a fair amount, but when I want to eat, I want my food.
Yeah.
I want to know I'm going to get it when I want.
Yeah, and if you want restaurant food, you want to go to a restaurant to experience it.
What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
Pizza.
But as far as deliveries goes, as if it could clear up the window, the time,
We just had an issue at my house the past several days of a company that was supposed to come and pick some stuff up, and it hasn't happened. And then they call, oh, we called and canceled that. And we've been waiting here. We have set our side of time. We set our time aside.
That's annoying.
And now you're canceling on us? What? It doesn't make it.
Is this the company that delivers your garbage?
No, they don't deliver our garbage. They take it away.
Okay.
But so if this would fix a problem like that,
yes,
I'd be for that.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a scary new world. But when you like in Minority Report or iRobot, you see a lot of the autonomous stuff happening. And then who knows? Maybe it could be cool.
However, listen, a test was done with a pizza delivery drone, essentially.
And it killed the entire family.
No, it didn't. Domino's last fall in Ann Arbor, Michigan, conducted some tests, and consumers were eager to come out of the car, which spoke in a soothing voice that walked them through.
Get out here!
Hey, I walked them through the process of how they get the pizza, and some human subjects found themselves talking back to it as well.
I tell you what, they had the, was it Pizza Hut that had the car that had the built-in oven?
I don't remember which one it was.
Or Domino's.
It might have been Pizza Hut.
Okay.
It was Papa John's.
It was
Dama Hut.
Pizza Joe's.
Papa Dama Hut.
But if you walk out and there's incentive that, you know, for them, like a soothing voice, you get, you know, a little something. Maybe you can put certain parts in the exhaust pipe.
Oh, stop it.
On a relatively side note and tangent, there was a pizza place that in the town that I live in Wayne, Pennsylvania, that has been open for as long as I can remember, and it just closed. It was called Pie in the Sky. It was on the corner of 30 and North Wayne Avenue or South Wayne Avenue. It had been there for at least 25 years.
What do you think put it under?
Well, I don't know. But
the lack of need to eat pizza?
Well, maybe part of the problem in Wayne is that there are literally 8 or 9 pizza shops within a mile. But guess what's going in its place?
Domino's.
A pizza shop.
Oh,
a pizza
shop. Seriously?
Yeah, not a Domino's. No, it's like a generic pizza place. I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, why would one pizza shop close to be replaced by another pizza shop?
That's a good question.
Isn't there another one in Ardmore?
A Pie in the Sky?
Yeah, I think
in the Sky was like a
are
local
you thinking
institution.
Of pizza pie?
Maybe.
Pizza Pie.
Yeah. Pizza Pie, maybe, which I think also closed. That's now something new as well. There was that Hope's Cookie and Maggie Moo's was there, and that's a different entity now. But, yeah, Pie in the Sky.
There's a strip club hair pie at my thigh.
Right, yeah. Yeah. But Pie in the Sky was there for as long as I can remember, and now it's gone, and it'll be replaced by another pizza place.
Well, I wonder if the automated delivery, this whole idea of automated driving will lessen travel costs. Right, like
it very well could.
Right, because you don't have to pay a driver. You could get somebody to,
well, to be competitive.
Yeah,
these are things that we're just on the cusp of figuring out.
Well, they said as far as hauling freight and stuff like that, 70% of the cost is paying for the people to drive it.
Yeah,
paying the human being to do it.
But then the robots become self-aware and they unionize.
They
of course
raise.
They have laser eyes. Which is going to make negotiations that much more dangerous.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
Pew, pew, pew.
Wow. All right, anyhow, some interesting things to consider as technology continues to advance. We should take a break. And speaking of technology, there's a screening of a movie that's all about some futuristic technology, which a lot of it actually is going to come true, I believe, in this. It's a book, which is now a film, Ready Player One. Steven Spielberg directed this. I'm very excited for it. Nick Murphy went out to California for the junket, and he said it was a really fun movie.
Thumbs up, right?
So we have a screening, next Tuesday, a week from today, at the UA King of Prussia, 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30, no later. Let's take another 5 callers, and we will put you on our list for that movie. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment or two. Hey, Bert Kreischer is going to give us a call this morning.
Yes.
He ran the L.A. Marathon over the weekend.
He did.
Without training for it at all. And we're going to find out what that experience is like. And we have info on Philly Wine Week and more coming up. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We are going to die.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it? But listen, if you're going to go and you're going to stock up and get yourself ready for being sewn in for a couple days, a few bottles of wine wouldn't hurt, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
No.
Wine never hurts.
We are actually going to welcome a guest to the show to tell you about an event. If you are into wine or or just fascinated by the culture or would like to get more into wine, then this is obviously the event for you. We would like to welcome the general manager of the Good King Tavern, and she's here to talk about Philly Wine Week. This is Chloe Grigri.
Hey!
How are you, Chloe?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
Excellent. We're doing pretty good. So Philly Wine Week, and that is, it's this week. It's Thursday it starts.
Exactly, yeah. It kicks off on Thursday, and I actually think we're in luck because the snow is just going to come and go, and everyone's just going to be totally stir crazy and needing to have a drink come Thursday.
I think you'll be fine. I think it's going to be perfect.
Yep. Fingers crossed.
All right, so at a couple of different locations, correct?
Well, on Thursday night, we have the opening corks, sort of opening party, and then there are events happening all across the city.
Okay. So the opening corks will be, tell us about that.
Opening corks is going to be at the 23rd Street Armory on the corner of 23rd and Chestnut, and we've got a bunch of importers and distributors coming, so lots of wine tasting. Bunch of restaurants from Philadelphia are going to be sort of set up and serving some plates as well.
In the Armory, that's where they kick off Beer Week, too,
yes, they
right?
do.
So
exactly,
that's a perfect idea.
Yeah. If you want to get bombed, that's the place to go.
Yeah,
it is indeed.
Clearly. All right, so what? So there's all different kinds of bars and restaurants and that will be participating in this?
Yeah, exactly. So we have over 65 participating restaurants sort of from all across the city, and there's a bunch of really fun stuff happening around the city. The goal is sort of to make wine approachable, make it fun.
Because a lot of people just say, okay, it's removed from my deal. It's maybe a little bit, some people might perceive it as being a little aloof.
Yeah. We're trying to get the beer drinkers on our side. You
all know? Right. Well, you know, there's also, and the story just came out about the medicinal benefits of wine. And I think it's pressing. I think if you drink two bottles of wine before you go to bed.
Yeah.
No, it's right. Maybe two glasses, but it's throughout in the evening that it has a very positive medicinal effect. So I don't drink, but I've always, my wife drinks wine and loves it. You really? No. So I've always looked for something I could drink with her and, you know, approach it. So she is not drinking alone, but that is, you know, wine for people who don't like wine. So things like that. You're going to help people bridge the divide, correct?
Yeah, exactly. There are events happening, there's a wine and jerky event happening.
Right. Wine and jerky.
There's a wine quiz thing.
Hold on, back to the jerky thing.
I need to hear more about that.
I would like to know more about wine and jerky.
It's a pairing between jerky and wine. It's going to be at Jet Wine Bar. It's on South Street between 15th and 16th.
And does this take place?
You know, I'm forgetting the
Tell me the name is Jerk Your
You
Cork.
Can check it out on PhillyWineWeek.org.
All right.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the reason I think some people have a hesitancy to approach wine. And the same thing can happen with craft beers as well.
Yeah.
Is because you get this upper level of people who are the experts, the connoisseurs, if you will. And what they prefer tend to be, I think anyway, the less palatable to the amateur as far as taste goes. So like
the pedestrian palate.
Well, you know, a lot like craft beer guys really go for the big time hit, you know, hardcore IPAs with all this hops, and it's you know, really bitter flavored. If you're not used to it, you try one, you're like, you know what, I'm not a craft beer guy. But what you haven't done is sampled the other ones that aren't that big, huge bodied flavor. And you find out that actually there are some that you like. You don't have to like them all.
Yes.
And the same thing that can happen with wines. We're talking about really dry wines and things that your palate is not used to tasting yet. But there are other ones out there that might be of your speed, and you probably shouldn't be dissuaded by what the quote-unquote experts have to say about what is a good wine and what isn't a good wine. Do you think so?
Yeah, for sure. I'd say that wine is you know, culturally, it's so something that you have with food.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps with those wines that are a little bit like bigger, okay, bolder, drier, whatever. And there are also wines that you can just like drink by themselves, like
pink, alone in
like
an
pink
alley.
Pink wine, yes, rosé wine.
Rosé. So with me here. I hear rosé is a sweeter wine, is it not?
It can be sweet. Yeah, it can have a little bit more sugar, but not always. A lot of rosés from Provence in the south of France are very, very dry, actually. Super, like, minerally and almost, like, salty in a way.
So, yeah, what my experience with a lot of people, they try to get into wine, and mm-hmm. then they end up sounding really pompous. You know, like, like people who really know stuff don't always say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And I think that pushes a lot of people away. But there's so many, apparently. How is this area? Obviously, you have some of the best restaurants in the world selecting wines. How is this area for wine and for accessibility to the great wines?
Well, the state of Pennsylvania is a little bit of a challenge,
okay,
law-wise, which we won't get into right now because
right.
it's way too boring. But I would say that there are people all across the city and just beyond that have all different levels of knowledge when it comes to wine. There are
all
people
right.
who are collectors and really know what they're talking about and like want to geek out and talk with you. And then there are people who don't maybe know exactly what they like, but we like to help them.
They're just trying to forget a woman. That's all it's about.
Drink away their sorrows.
So you talk about the food pairing, and that's a big aspect of this thing. So,
for sure.
Right. So, and we do have some food and stuff with us. What do we have to
check here? We've got a little potato frittata with
potato
some chili,
frittata.
A little bit spicy, nice little thing for breakfast.
So what pairs with what is a, is there a breakfast wine?
Yeah.
All the wine is the breakfast wine.
Well, somebody recently told me that a spicy food can easily be paired with a sweeter wine. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say spicy food goes really well with wines that are a little bit more fruit forward, and obviously rosé, you're going to get a little bit
and
more
fruit.
And
that's what the wine is that you brought. It's a
yeah,
rosé.
Yeah, exactly.
So let us taste what pairs with this that we have, the frittata.
So we have a rosé from Bandol, which is a little area in the south of France, right on the coast.
Ooh la la.
They just got Uber.
I'm not going to drink, but I'm going to enjoy the bouquet of it.
Yeah, you can totally
smell
it. You know
what? I will drink. I'm going to be adventurous.
Okay.
You're going to try a little bit of this?
I'm going to try a little bit.
Shut your mouth. Here.
Shut your hole.
I'm not drinking this. I'm going to hand it over to you. I'll come right.
You can report back to your wife.
Preston, it smells really good. Let's do it the right
way. It does smell good.
Like this.
All right. So,
do you love her?
Are you guys dancing?
I want to see how, you know, what this legendary pairing, if I can notice.
Okay.
Legendary. Right.
So, take a bite of the food first, I guess.
I'm going to have some of the frittata.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Dom Hanks with Rita Wilson. She makes a hell of a frittata. We were over there, Joy and I, it was the last Memorial Day weekend. And she is just the best hostess.
We can thank my boyfriend for this one.
Your boyfriend is Tom Hanks, is he?
Yeah, he's Tom Hanks and he's the cook.
Right. He made the frittata. Does he work at a restaurant? Does he work at a restaurant?
He used to. He does not anymore. He just does me favors.
Okay.
I love the wine.
Yeah, it's delicious, right?
It is. Steve, it's a good wine.
Yeah. Steve, you're not a drinker. What do you think of the vino?
What if it was bubbly?
I think I need a little bit of sweetness. Would this be considered a sweeter wine?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't necessarily call it a super sweet wine. It's definitely fruity. You can definitely tell there's like fruit in there.
When you're pairing with a food with a wine, should you have some of the food in your mouth when you drink the wine?
No.
And like slosh it around and then spit it into a spittoon.
That's less than ideal.
Kathy, you're more of a cultivated palate. What do you think of the wine?
The wine, I really like it. I like this rosé. There are some rosés that are too sweet for me.
Yeah.
This is okay.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Nick, are you having any or just the frittata?
Just the frittata?
All right.
Frittata is delicious.
What about the wine? You're not having any wine.
No, wine this morning.
Do you have another wine? Do you have a sweeter wine?
I don't have a sweeter wine with me, no. But there are plenty of options. You've got a lot of, like, Rieslings that are super sweet.
Those are baby ducks, right?
I like Rieslings.
Ah, very nice.
Yep, I definitely dig the Rieslings. I assume there's going to be everything from pairing events to samples and maybe some instructions on what you should know about appreciating a good wine.
Yeah, for sure. There, I mean, like I said, there are events all over the city where I'm actually throwing an event at the Good King Tavern. It's a late night event next Wednesday, the 28th. And we're sort of reliving the kind of vibe that you get when you're in places like France or in places like Italy. It's super casual. Wine is just like a part of everyday life. And it's like really not something that people think too hard about.
Right, right.
Or like talk too intensely about. It's just like, hey, here's this wine. Let's drink this all together. And that's the end of it. So we're sort of trying to cultivate that ambiance. There's going to be a DJ.
All right.
Maybe a fog machine.
Maybe a fog machine. Yeah. There we go. Nice.
And by the way, that wine and jerky event that you had mentioned, so it's at Jet Wine Bar.
Yeah.
And it's on Monday, the 26th, and it starts at 4 o'clock.
Is that going to have a fog machine?
I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past Jill, the owner of Jet right. Wine Bar.
I'll tell you this. Now that I don't have the food in my mouth, the wine does taste a little bit more acceptable.
Good.
Okay. Yes.
Well, this is the fifth year for the event, and it starts on Thursday and goes for a week until the following Thursday. And if you want to get details on where to go, what to do, what's going on, phillywineweek.org is what you need to do. But cool, man. Well, thank you for the information. We appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Grab some donuts on the way out.
Yeah, please do.
I like the ones with the faces on them.
Yes, that's us.
Dip them in your wine. Let's hear for Chloe Grigri. General manager of the Good King Tavern. So now we got wine, we got food, we got all that stuff. We got to get Bert Kreischer on in a moment.
He's up, man.
Is he?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Give him a call. Can we do that? And meanwhile, I'll bring you up to speed on another libation you may want to try. I saw this, a wonderful wine bar called Sonic Drive-In.
Yeah.
is planning to introduce pickle juice slushes.
Heard about this.
Mm-hmm. The new flavor is part of the drive-in chain's new Snow Cone Slushes lineup, which will hit restaurants in mid-June, and they're going to try out the pickle slush.
So
I'll guarantee it, people will order it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The deal with the pickle juice that the teams were doing with the drinking of that was to help you hold on to the water, right?
Yeah,
to not have you get dehydrated.
Salty, yeah.
I drank pickle. I've told you guys this story before. I drank pickle juice. I was at a skating rink. I was probably in fifth grade, something like that. And I had full-on diarrhea run down
my
jeans.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. But you must have been like a spirograph on the ice.
No, it was a roller skating.
Oh.
And I fortunately, I think a lot of it might have gone into my sock, so I didn't.
That's oh, my God. I didn't make a mess.
This young man is redefining roller skating. I've never seen moves like that.
I mean,
on the positive side of things.
Yeah. Full on.
The diarrhea ended up in
diarrhea.
Your sock.
Call this one electric poopaloo.
While roller skating. And I blame the pickle juice. I think it was that because I only had 50 cents. I may have only had like a quarter. And the only thing the snack bar you could drink for that was pickle juice.
They had pickle juice to drink.
Well, they had the giant tub of big dill pickles. And if you wanted a cup of pickle juice, you could get it. And I got it.
50 cents well spent.
Excuse me, mister. Can I have some soda? How about some pickle juice, son? Sounds good.
You only have 50 cents.
It might have been a quarter. But it was all I couldn't get soda. And this was pre-bottled water days.
Oh,
I didn't
want
to drink water.
Wow. Now, did anybody else know that you did this in your pants?
My sister was there, I'm flagging her down like crazy. I'm like, hey. She comes over pissed off because I called her in from skating. She was 16, so she's old enough to drive, or maybe 15 because it was, anyway. But anyway, she skates over, and she's pissed off at me because I was, you know, breaking up the middle of her skate.
Was that the reason?
I just crapped in my pants.
Have you shared this story before?
I thought I had. Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember this one. Did she laugh at you or did she help you?
Oh, she thought it was hilarious.
Now,
because she drove me home.
Was it visible through the pants?
No. I don't.
Was it jeans?
I don't remember. It was jeans.
Yeah, you're kind of safe there.
Yeah, and so, but
not
I did,
for long.
I did ride home like this the whole way.
I'm surprised you didn't just lay on your stomach in the back seat.
I had my crotch up in the air the whole way.
Why didn't you go into the bathroom?
I just wanted to go home.
Okay.
I just wanted to get home.
I just laughed because I've pooped my pants many times. So.
I know you have.
It's funny.
They're going to be offering pickle juice at Sonic Drive-In. What's that?
Is pickle juice just vinegar, essentially, or?
There's seasonings that you put in there as well.
Okay.
Because
Pepto-Bismol.
We actually make pickles at home. Carter does. But it's water, it's vinegar, it's sugar, It's pickling spices.
Oh. All right.
And then it takes on that green color from the actual cucumbers.
Because I drank an entire bottle of vinegar for pledging one time. And it went down fairly easy. And about a half hour later, my stomach just cramped up into this little ball.
It's very acidic. Yeah. Very, 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 very acidic. So,
It was like one of those deals where I started chugging it, and then everybody starts like, go, go, go. And I'm like, well, everybody's happy. I'm going to finish
this thing. Sure, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
But listen, it's supposed to help with the cramping issue that people can get in muscles, from what I understand. That's why some athletes will drink pickle juice, in summertime.
You had another reaction.
Yeah, I did. I did. But maybe if you're gearing up for a long run or something like that, you might want to dose up on the pickle juice.
I would as well, yeah.
So you don't cramp up and so forth. And this next guest, I don't know what he did, but he went after the L.A. Marathon without training at all.
I mean,
nothing. So people will run in increments. If they're going to lead up to it, they'll start months in advance, and they'll run 3 or 4 miles, and they'll eventually do 6 miles, and they'll try to get past that hurdle of 10 miles, which I hear gets really, really tough once you get past 10 miles, and they'll incrementally work their way up to the 26.2. This guy didn't do anything. And spoiler alert, he finished it. Ladies and gentlemen, the machine, Bert Kreischer,
yay,
is on the line. Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. By the way, I totally saw a woman crap her pants in front of me at mile 22.
Oh, you did? Yes. Well, that happens all the time, Bert. That's the story. You're in the marathon. You don't stop. You keep going.
Oh, it's like, you ever be out partying and you hear something real, like someone fall and break their foot, and you hear that real noise they let go? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, that's there's no shine on that. When I watched this woman crap her pants, I went, oh, we're in the thick of it. Like, and I had my phone in my hand. I was like, I am not taking a picture of that because that might happen to me.
Yeah.
Bert, I used to go watch the Boston Marathon every year. It's actually, believe it or not, a fun spectator sport. And there was a woman every year, and this is awful, but we would take bets. And it was the brown badge of courage. And we would wait until she would run by. And we knew every year that this woman in particular, that would happen to her. But at some point, there's just very little that you can do to control it.
Oh, they say so. I did no training for the marathon. My buddies were like, "You have to train. You have to train. You'll die. You'll die. You'll have a seizure." And I was like, "Nah, you can do a marathon without training. That is very possible." So I was like, "I'll do it." So I had no training. Ran the LA marathon, and I was fine. I've run a half marathon before with no training. It's not that hard. All you got to do is mind over matter, right?
So mind over matter. That's what got you through.
Mind over matter.
Okay.
All you have to do is say, this is what I'll be doing for the next 5 hours. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
Well, was that your time?
5.5 hours. Well, so I was on track for a 5-hour marathon. And, I mean, I'm fine. At mile 10, the guy I'm running with is like, I need to walk. And I was like, I'm good. Mile 14, it starts going downhill. And I'm like, I'm literally tracking it going, I've got 5 hours, no questions asked.
Yeah.
It's mile 17, and my dad, who ran marathons, ran at Malvern and at Villanova. My dad who ran marathons was like, mile 20 is what the wall. That's when you hit the wall.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you something. That wall, you start seeing at mile 17, and then at mile 18, and then at mile 19, you're like, oh, my God, I haven't even hit 20 yet. At 20, it was like a plague had been unleashed on all of us.
Oh, my God. Looked,
people are collapsing on the ground. They're literally falling to the ground. Going off to the side, sitting on the curb, and all of a sudden, both of my calves seize up, and my quad seize up into my legs, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is why people train. Like,
when that happened, did you face plant? What did you do?
No, I started walking at like on a treadmill. It'd be like at a 14-minute mile. I started walking. I slowed my time down.
Right.
And then I got lapped by this old lady that I had passed way at the beginning of the marathon, who's carrying a sign that said 5 minutes or 5 hours and 30 minutes. And I just got lapped by her. She just passed right past me. I was like, oh my God. That's when the Mickey Mantle gene kicked in. And I was like, just push through this. You've got 6 miles left. You can do this. And when I get to mile 23, it was all downhill. That's when I was right behind the woman that crapped her pants. And I was like, here we go.
Explain the concept of the Mickey Mantle gene.
So I believe there are people in this world who go, I can't do that. I can never do that. I can never do that. And then I believe there's people like me who sit at a bar all night long, party, and if you were like, so you think you can run a marathon tomorrow? You're like, oh, definitely. just like Mickey Mantle. Mm-hmm. Party all night, perform in the morning. And I believe I possess that gene. It's a made-up gene in my head, but I believe I can party all night long and compete with the best of them.
And compete with the best athletes. So your time is actually, that's you know, considering you did not train at all, it's pretty amazing, A. B, if you just started, like, briskly walking for just a mile or two and did most of it at a decent trotting clip, that's amazing.
Dude, trust me when I say, like, I cannot move my legs today. I have not been able to walk. I'm literally laying in bed. My feet don't work. It's like I got brand new legs. I feel like a doe on ice.
That was,
like,
the first thing I was wondering when I heard that you did it. I'm like, there's no way he can walk right now.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, I will never run a marathon ever again in my life.
No.
It is so unenjoyable. When you get done, when you do a half marathon's the gig. When you do a half marathon, it's camaraderie. There's community. Everyone's having beers afterwards.
Yeah.
When you do a half marathon, it's like war. You're like, this is my wife. I'm going home. We're going to make love.
And people are crapping all around you.
But what's crazy is the people that beat you. Like, I'm a fairly athletic, you know, 45-year-old male. I got beat hard by this disabled dude. Like cerebral palsy all over one side. Destroyed me. That is the Mickey Mantle gene. That guy killed it. I got beat by a guy carrying a tuba, playing the tuba.
Stop it.
I got beat by three Elvis impersonators who were drinking Natural Lights the whole time. Okay. Who you get beat by is amazing. And then it's what's even crazier is you get to mile 15 and you run past a massively overweight person. You're like, wait, this person's been in front of me for 15 miles.
That person's been out ahead of you. What was the temperature, if I can quickly ask?
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was like 60 degrees.
Oh, well, that's sensational.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the most amazing. It was really cool. There's a lot of time, like, you know, a lot of, like, I just work out. I usually, if I'm going to work out, I get a bottle of wine, get on the treadmill, put on
that's your workout.
Grocery grams. Yeah, that's how I like to work out. I like to have a bottle of wine on the treadmill, walk 7 miles, watch TV, and that's it.
Well,
but when you're in your city and you're like sightseeing your city on foot, running from the stadium to the ocean, when I went down the last stretch and I saw the Pacific Ocean, dude, half a mile left, tears in my eyes, my kids are cheering me on, and I'm like, oh, here we go. I kicked up to like an 8-minute mile at the end, like flying.
Wow. Did you cry at all?
In the car, both my ass cheek muscles seized up.
Oh, I wasn't talking about
she
pain.
Cried from pain.
Yeah, I was. I thought maybe it was an emotional thing for you. Hey, did you do a number on yourself the night before? Or did you keep it fairly tame on Saturday night?
You know, I like to get down.
You like to get down.
Yeah, I had a flight early in the morning. I was in Grand Rapids, so you know. Casual party. I think it would probably put Kathy under the table, but you know.
Well, here's the thing. Like years and years and years ago, I was probably 23. I wanted to see if I could do it. There was a couple guys had done 500 push-ups, and that was like my main type of workout. I was doing push-ups at different angles and so on and so forth. So I was actually training. I was doing, you know, a couple of hundred a day anyway. So I did it. And the next day, talking to you about, you know, the way your legs feel the next day, I wanted to die. I couldn't even breathe. It hurt so badly. But in the moment, it was like, oh, I'm fine. And then I went to sleep, and it, like, during the night, the pain fairy came and delivered everything. Was that your experience?
This morning, the reason I'm awake, I woke up to go to the bathroom at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I sat on the toilet.
Oh,
and
no.
I stayed on the toilet for about an hour.
Yeah.
I could not get off the toilet.
Yep.
My legs were not working. And I was like, I need help. I got to wait till my wife wakes up. And she comes in. She's like, what are you doing on the toilet? And I was like, hey, can you lift me off, please?
What wife isn't turned on by that?
Oh, it was, my legs are destroyed. Like,
yeah.
Like all the way into my O-ring. Like, I am blown out.
So up, even up into your butthole, you have, Would you say permanent damage or will you recover?
I can't tell if it's hemorrhoids. I don't know what it is. I think I'll recover.
All right.
Can I tell you what's really depressing? Is I weighed myself before the marathon, weighed myself after the marathon, I gained 2 pounds.
Hey, Bert, I bet you you're really glad that you put a nice pool in your backyard with a hot tub, right?
Oh, dude, I sat in that. When I got back from the marathon, I sat in that with my daughters and started murdering beer.
Well, yeah, you got a carb load afterwards.
Listening to Everlong by Foo Fighters. Oh, dude. You want to, Foo Fighters was made for running marathons.
Oh, yeah?
That goes my hero. Come on.
And did you have a special playlist ready to go for it?
Yeah, I did. As I ran through Hollywood, I played Ghetto Boys, Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster, on repeat. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, that is an 11-minute mile pace. Jog to Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster, on repeat. You can't tell when a song begins or ends, on a loop, and I must have listened to it 100 times. I got Rage Against the Machine, Foo Fighters, and Outkast. And those are the three. That's all I listened to.
Oh, really? So you timed out your paces to where you knew what number miles you'd be going over time, and you did that with the tempo of the music.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, 156 beats per minute is like a 10-minute mile.
Okay.
But you can slow it down to like an 11-minute mile.
Okay.
So I wanted to have the 156 beats per minute in case I hit downhills.
Okay.
So like Rage Against the Machine kicked in.
Yeah.
And I was hit a downhill in Echo Park, and I was flying past people, and that's when the runner's high kicked in, and I was like, I am a god! I am a Greek god!
Think about Eddie Izzard, however he pronounces it. That dude kind of had the same story. He went from 0 to 60 and was running marathons every day for like a month. And like he was going from country to country and doing all this stuff for charity, but a similar story. Maybe he has whatever the British equivalent of the Mickey Mantle gene is. He's got it.
It's a George Best gene.
it's got to be.
Yeah.
But
it's that long strand DNA.
So after this, you've eliminated this out of your bucket list, I assume. Is there another great physical achievement you're looking forward to now?
Well, I think right now I'm just gonna be rational and set my sights on the Iron Man. I could totally ride a bike after that run. That's not that hard.
Right. Right.
If I could take a swim, come on.
It could be done.
I have faith in you.
I part of me is like, it was, you know, look, we're going to also talk from a business standpoint. This little personal goal I set, like just this little thing. Like, I got like 5,000 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
My Twitter was blowing up. I sold out a bunch of shit. Like, it's fun for people. People had a fun time watching me go through it.
Yeah.
I was like Insta-storing it. And so in a weird way, it's like the new television, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're green lighting a television show that you're sharing your experience with the people that want to see it. So and I really enjoyed it. And like, Tom Segura and Ari Shaffir were breaking my balls the whole time. And we're all teasing each other online.
Right.
And then, in all honesty, when I got done, both of them called me just like friends. And we talked for like 30 minutes each about the experience and should we all try to do something together. And
okay.
It was really fun. I'll tell you what I'd really love to do. I'd love to do something like this with I would love to do this with something like you guys, the whole team.
Yeah.
Do like a 10K Tough Mudder or do like a really good, like a 10-mile Tough Mudder or do like a half marathon. And all train for it, and then put some stakes on it. You know, like really put some like. Here's what happens when you who comes in first.
Like a New York strip steak, I would do that. I would totally put a strip steak on that. Yeah.
I'll meet you at the finish line.
You know what you could do, Bert? You could sell tickets to and everybody gets everybody who's on board with your team. And then we go to like Helium and have a comedy show or something like that right afterwards.
That's so funny. At mile 13 on the LA Marathon, it was at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, so wait, I could do a race from the stadium to the Comedy Store and then end at the Comedy Store and then just get blitzed into a show. That's the next call in sick to work show.
Yeah. I like it.
By the way, how soon or have you already put a 26.2 sticker on the back of your car?
If I could walk to my car.
You'd do it.
Oh, dude, I am immobile. I am immobile. Like, my lower, my chest doesn't work. Like, my back muscles, like, I can't take a deep breath because my back, I feel like I've had pneumonia. By the way, I had a chest cold the entire time for the run. I had Hall's mentholyptus in both of my cheeks, so I couldn't cough.
That's freaking crazy.
Bert, how are your nipples and your toenails?
Nipples are fine. Toenails are coming off. The big one on my right foot and the one right next to it are both going to disappear. And I think my pointer toe, I guess, on my left foot is going to come off.
There was a point
in the race where I said they were hurting so bad that I was like, if they could surgically remove the tip of my toes right now and guarantee no pain, I would be like, yeah, do it.
Yeah, just go ahead. Take it off.
I don't need it.
By the way, Marissa just brought me a note that says that in Philadelphia, the Rock and Roll Half Marathon is September 15th. So just
are you serious?
Plant that in your head, yes.
That's at night, too.
Yeah, that's the night one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are awesome.
let's talk about that.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, when's your Netflix special going to air? Do you find out yet?
Oh, I think in June. By the way, thank you everyone who came out to the first show that was not the best show of my life. We had technical issues and we had to wait. They had to wait in the rain for an hour and a half. I apologize to everyone who came to the first show. It was an okay show, but thank you also to everyone who came to the late show, that which might have been the best show I've ever had in my entire life.
Which one was there a fight in the audience? Somebody told me there was a fight.
First show was rough. Apparently the truck isn't set up for electricity in 2018. We had to bring generators in, and so everyone stood in the rain for an hour and a half.
Whoa.
And we held the show for an hour and a half. And it was a good show, but I think people were a little frustrated.
Sure.
It was not the best scenario. And then the late show, and I say this across the board, was the best show of stand-up comedy I've ever had in my life. Shout out to the dude who ripped his shirt off in the balcony with the big Eagles tattoo and started the Eagles chant. Nice. It was crazy. At one point, they are stomping on the ground of the truck so hard that I thought the place was going to come down to the ground.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, that whole week was an amazing week for me.
Nice.
So thank you guys.
All right, sometime in June when you get the official date, let us know and we'll make sure
we
hit that for you.
I will.
Awesome, buddy. All right, listen, congratulations on this this huge accomplishment,
man. It is.
We're happy for you.
Thank you.
And chill out and relax until
we can walk soon.
You have no option. Yeah.
And when you guys decide to do a race, count me in.
We will.
All right, thanks, man. All right, Bert Kreischer, everybody. Our good friend. Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he finished it. I can see getting most of the way done.
Yeah.
And then hitting your limit. And because you can hurt yourself.
He did,
flat out hurt yourself, but he walked it off at the end there. That's unbelievable.
That nipple thing,
yeah,
grosses me out. That eventually, like, you sort of just shave your nipples off from friction.
That's why
they put the ointment on. You know, they had like a bomb they put on their nipple.
Yeah. All right, he did it. We got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment or two. We still have another event we're going to hear about a little later on. You know about Hoagie Nation.
Yeah.
And this is a big party they have at Festival Pier where they've added an event onto that. We'll find out more about that in just a little bit. We'll take a break, coming back with the B-File. So stay with us.
MMR's 50th Birthday Concert Series presents MMRBQ 2018. Our big all-day rock festival just got bigger. Starring Alice in Chains. Temple Pilots. Just added Korn's Jonathan Davis. And station favorites, The Record Company. Also performing Ghost. Dorothy. Radke. And Jackson's local shots opener in the presence of wolves. One day, eight bands. The best deal in rock. Starting at just $35. On sale now. Ticketmaster.com. It's MMRBQ 2018. Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. Join us.
Oh,
93.3 WMMR, Shine Down. The song is Devil, and that is their latest. It's about 9:50 with the Preston and Steve Show. Today is Tuesday. Will we live through Wednesday? That's the question. We might have a foot of snow tomorrow. I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. But they are saying overnight, expect that snow to start. We might get a wintry mix beforehand, but around 2-3 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Is when we can expect it to be steady, they're saying. And we'll find out where we get hit hardest, but it could be up to a foot. Who knows? Maybe more. So just make your plans, get yourself ready, and set for something like that. Let's take a look at traffic, see what's going on. Kath, what you got for us?
We've got some delays remaining on the Schuylkill eastbound. It's slowing the Bluebird into Conshohocken and Montgomery through to Spring Garden westbound, University to South, and then City out to Belmont. 422 eastbound slows Trooper to 23. Looks like that disabled tractor trailer on Route 30 heading to 202 has been cleared. Good news there. 95 southbound slowing Allegheny through to Girard. One turn on the Vine westbound that slows the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill Expressway. And then in New Jersey, 42, 55, 73 cleared out this morning. This traffic report brought to you by Tires Plus, now through April 4th. At Tires Plus, you can get $20 off a lifetime alignment, which allows you to align your vehicle for as long as you own it. Other restrictions apply. See TiresPlus.com for offer details. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we got another run of the B-File, so let's get that going now. Here it comes.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning, the Bizarre File is brought to you by Todd B. Jacobs, personal injury law firm, getting you the compensation you deserve or you don't pay. 267-687-0379, tvjacobslaw.com. How about this? An Indiana woman is facing charges after her son allegedly sent her drugs in the mail. Now, police began investigating after a citizen reported that 58-year-old Deborah Ferguson was receiving shipments of marijuana in the mail on a regular basis from her son, Eric Anderson, who lives in California. The package contained, well, they found a package that contained 720 grams of marijuana and was sent to Ferguson's home in Aurora, and it was addressed to Grandma Stinker.
Grandma Stinker. Oh, she does love her pot.
After obtaining a search warrant, officers discovered numerous narcotic prescription medications packaged for delivery along with multiple packages of methamphetamine, drug paraphernalia, packaging supplies, cell phones, and an undisclosed amount of cash. She's been charged with dealing methamphetamine, possession of methamphetamine, corrupt business influence, conspiracy to deal marijuana, dealing in a narcotic drug, so on and so forth. So,
looking at her mugshot, Preston, she's adorable.
That's Grandma Stinker for
you. That's Grandma Stinker. She's resting her head on the little clipboard. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
A now-deleted social media post on a community page prompted a slew of calls from concerned residents asking officers to investigate what turned out to be a man's body in a city's pond.
Ooh.
Now, officers pulled 51-year-old Tracy Rex Kunzler's body from the pond on Wednesday, though they were dispatched to the pond to investigate shortly after the person had posted a photo to Facebook on Tuesday night. So here's the deal. They don't believe the man's death was suspicious. Because of the ongoing investigation, they can't release information about how the man ended up in the pond. They don't suspect foul play, but the medical examiner is going to try to determine. Now, the person apparently posted the photo to the group because he or she didn't know whether the body was a mannequin. They didn't call the police. They posted a picture
to Facebook
of a body
right
on a Facebook community page. And so there's some fallout about that.
Is this a body or a mannequin? Get back to me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Many members appeared to take issue with the poster adding the photo to the group and not reporting it to the police.
Well, I'm sorry I care.
They confirmed that the person who posted it didn't attempt to contact police. People who saw the post contacted police. So it was people who were surfing on Facebook that stumbled across that and reported it. So that's a little ridiculous. This is why Bill doesn't let us do the beer mile anymore. A 68-year-old man died Saturday evening of apparent cardiac arrest after he collapsed walking in the beer mile event following a St. Patrick's Day parade in downtown Inverness. The man identified as Richard Schultz was walking with his wife and friends when he collapsed on the corner about halfway through the 2/10 of a mile course. He wasn't even doing the full mile.
So was he walking briskly as you're supposed to?
He was just walking and it happened to be in a beer mile and it was his time.
It was his time. And what a time.
The Pine Street Pub sponsored the race, which consists of participants running four laps of a race, drinking a beer after each lap. About 100 people registered for the race. However, 15 to 20, including Schultz, paid a smaller registration fee to walk only the first lap so they could receive a race T-shirt. He was with a group of 12 people. He was in good spirits and then,
boom,
dropped dead.
That's it.
Right in the middle of the beer mile. So he'll... Yeah, it's sad he's going to be known as he dropped dead at the beer mile, you know.
Please put the shirt in the coffin.
Yeah. Let's see here. A man is in jail after allegedly employing a novel method of burglarizing a party store. Police say he crashed a stolen snowmobile through the business's front door and then stole a bunch of cigarettes and lottery tickets.
So wanted to be as discreet as possible, yeah, not arouse suspicion.
Deputies responded to an alarm at Doors Party Store upon arrival. Deputy. I like that little sound effect combination. Upon arrival, deputies saw the front door had been smashed and that someone had entered the building. The intruder made off with cigarettes and lottery tickets. The deputies noticed snowmobile tracks leading away from the scene. As they investigated, they were alerted that a snowmobile had crashed into a ditch about a half mile away. Deputies went to the crash site and they spotted the snowmobile's rider, who took off running.
I got some cigarettes.
Deputies pursued and soon caught the man, who was identified as 38-year-old Michael P. Stark. Deputies also learned the snowmobile had been stolen off a trailer.
Tony Stark's ne'er-do-well brother.
At a residence within a few miles of the party store. So, he's busted. Here's a follow-up story for you. A woman photographed by police wearing what appeared to be a wedding dress during her arrest on charges of impaired driving in southern Arizona is disputing police claims that she was taken into custody as she was headed to her wedding. The image of Amber Young being put into a police cruiser late Monday morning while in handcuffs and wearing a white open-back full-length dress made its rounds on social media. The 32-year-old was arrested after she became involved in a three-vehicle crash in which one person suffered minor injuries. Now, Anthony Michael Biehn said that her client, that her attorney, I'm sorry, not Anthony Michael Biehn.
What was it?
Attorney Michelle Biehn.
It's a tribute to Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall. And that guy being the best lawyer ever.
Attorney Michelle Biehn said her client was arrested on her way to meet a friend for lunch, not to a wedding. She said that Young isn't engaged and insisted she was wearing a sundress, not a wedding gown.
It does sort of look like a sundress now.
Yeah, if you look at it a little bit. body camera from the video from the arrest shows Young telling officers that she was on her way to get married. That's what a spokesman said. And confirming that she was wearing a wedding dress, Young even gave the time and location of the ceremony. So,
well, the big sticking point is what she was wearing, not that she was driving drunk.
Yeah, of course. That's what we want to find out here.
And she was tanked up.
But the attorney said she believes the police posted the photo for laughs. And I don't know what the attorney's going to do, but, you know.
This is attorney Michael Biehn?
They just wanted to clear that. Yeah, Michael Biehn. Let's see. Oh, this is terrible. A suburban father says that his late daughter's ashes were mishandled by a sheriff's deputy who mistook the ashes for drugs.
Oh, no.
The deputy chief says his officer used extreme caution while handling a vial filled with human remains. But the owner says after it spilled in his car, he now feels lost. Losing my daughter once was enough to kill most people. Losing my daughter twice, uncalled for, he said. This is Anthony Butler. Butler's daughter, Mariah, was only 11 days old when she died in 2014 from congenital heart defect. All he has left is a photo album and a vial of her ashes that he wears every day. He said it was filled until Sunday with a run-in with the sheriff's deputy. The man had just bought an SUV. He was pulled over. He said it was started off as a normal traffic ticket. Then the deputy asked to search the car. Butler said yes. He was handcuffed and placed in the back of a patrol car when an officer found a vial containing a white powdery substance, which, according to police, looked similar to narcotics. He asked me if it was okay to test the amount. A small amount, he said. And the field test came back negative, and Butler was free to go. He said he found the vial in his vehicle, but he says that the inner cap was missing and the outer cap was not secure. He said, when I picked up the remains, the bottom half fell off, and it all went into the console. So his daughter's ashes scattered everywhere. That's horrible. The deputy chief says they've never had any complaints about the officer involved, and in this case, he did not act maliciously. So,
it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the B-file for now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll get to the lesson questions, see if you've been paying attention. I have music news and trash coming up as well. And we're going to tell you about an event that is in conjunction with the Hoagie Nation event coming on later this summer, I believe. So
yes.
We'll take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream
the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We have a couple of guests that are in our studio, but I want to go ahead and get through our items that we normally do at this time first. So we're going to do the lesson question and trash and so on. And did I get lesson questions?
Yeah.
I have them here. So we're going to give away a digital download of Star Wars The Last Jedi. And let me see here. Let's go with... ooh, this is a tough one. Ma's making a pie. Where did Pa work? 215-263-WMMR from early this morning. Ma's making a pie. But where did Pa work? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. The wait is over. Rita's is now open for the season. Go to your Rita's and get your favorite frozen treats that can only be found at Rita's. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Mark Pitcher, the pastor who presided over Charles Manson's funeral, says he had no issues about doing so because the service comforted Manson's grandson, Jason Freeman. Still, Pitcher said he did manage to get in a last dig by pissing in Manson's mouth.
Oh, all right. Oh my God.
It's a different kind of preacher.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen has settled a lawsuit with the National Enquirer, who claimed the controversial actor had raped then 13-year-old Corey Haim on the set of the 1980 film Lucas. Sheen says he felt it was important to fight this story because literally every other disgusting story about him is completely true.
Yeah.
Duh.
And finally, Caitlyn Jenner, and this is wild, reportedly has a huge crush on Hugh Hefner's widow, former playmate Crystal Harris. Caitlyn says she's not sure what you call it when she gets aroused, but says it probably sounds like a Bon Jovi. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, we'll see if you were paying attention earlier this morning. Ma is making a pie. Where did Pa work? That's the lesson question for today. I'm going to go to Matt, who's the first caller in. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing great, buddy. All right, so where did Pa work?
Pa worked at the fence factory.
The fence,
factory. Of course. 20 years.
Hang on a second, Matt. We are going to give you a digital download of Star Wars Last Jedi. It's available digitally now and available on Blu-ray on Tuesday, March 27th. So hang on the line. We'll get your information. We'll do music news real quick here.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you by Delilah's. And Delilah's presents the 2018 Entertainer of the Year on Wednesday, March 28th. Visit Delilah's.com for details. Just played some new... We played new Shinedown a while ago, right?
Devil.
Yep. Godsmack and Shinedown have fleshed out. The rest of their co-headlining Summer North America Tour gets underway July 22nd in Michigan and will hit more than 30 cities before wrapping up after 6 weeks on September 2nd in Wausau, New York. The two bands announced the first 16 dates earlier this month, and they will be in our area August 26th at BB&T Pavilion. Like a Storm's going to open the first half of the tour. Red Sun Rising will warm up the crowds for the second half. Tickets are available to the general public starting Friday at LiveNation.com, and these dates come as both groups are set to release new albums. Shinedown's Attention arrives on May 4th. Godsmack will unleash when Legends Rise on April 27th. Blink-182 is headed to the Palms Casino Resort in Vegas for a 16-date residency.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, dubbed Kings of the Weekend. The run will begin May 26th and run on select weekends through November 17th, so it's a pretty good stretch.
Blink has entered residency territory, I guess.
Yeah, bassist Mark Hoppus said in a statement, when the Palms asked us to do a residency here in Vegas, we said absolutely. And now we just have to cast our showgirls, create our set list, a true throwback of Vegas classics with Sinatra and Liberace. Maybe we can even marry someone on stage. The possibilities in Vegas are endless.
And they're going to pick up their rooms, too, Preston.
Oh, that's nice of them. Blink is just the latest in a long line of contemporary pop and rock performers who have gone the Vegas route, including Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Elton John, Rod Stewart, John Fogerty, and many others, with Lady Gaga beginning a 74-show stand later this year. But, the Blink-182 fans are all grown up and can afford a plane ticket out to Vegas. And
now they're blinking because of early onset glaucoma.
Right. They blink 182 times a day.
Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age have released a video for the song Head Like a Haunted House.
Ooh.
From the band's current album, Villains. The clip is described as ghastly animated carnival ride through your worst fever-induced nightmares, accompanied by disembodied hands, UFOs, smoldering hellscapes, and grooving skeletons.
Sounds like a lot like Hot in Cleveland.
Josh Homme leads the way as he and his pack of mischief makers sail through the nighttime sky on what else but flying coffins. They've been mostly spending the early part of the year outside of the U.S., most recently in South America with Foo Fighters. However, they'll be back for more U.S. dates in March, April, and May before spending the summer in Europe.
We were playing that song the way you used to do, and I guess it just didn't, like...
I like that song.
I liked it, too. It's just, it's interesting. The songs that we have played from either Josh Homme or Queens of the Stone Age, I really, really, really dig. But on the album, there's usually like just one song that I really dig, and then the rest of them, it just really it's an eclectic sound.
I thought this last album was really pretty solid all the way through.
Slipknot and Stone Sour vocalist Corey Taylor is joining the roster of performers who will appear on Fozzy frontman Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea.
Wow.
Taylor's going to play a solo acoustic set aboard the cruise, which will also feature Fozzy, Motorhead guitarist Phil Campbell's new band called Bastard Sons, and more, along with some of Jericho's fellow pro wrestling stars like Mick Foley and Raven. Taylor said in a statement, "I'm going to be just as geeking as you are, watching all the music, all the wrestling. Growing up, I was a huge fan, so this is going to be pretty badass."
Maybe we should do a cruise some point, Preston.
Oh, dear
Preston
Lord.
Preston and Steve cruise.
We could do it.
We could do it.
We could do it. And then finally, Steven Tyler, heading out on the road for an extended solo run backed by his side group, the Loving Mary Band. The opening for Tyler on the trek will be the Sisterhood Band, which includes Rod Stewart's 30-year-old daughter with model Kelly Emberg, Ruby Stewart.
Ruby Stewart.
Not familiar.
I'm not familiar, yeah.
The 15-date trek will play 8 North American shows. One of those will be in Bethlehem.
He looks like a Captain Jack Sparrow's stylist.
It will be at the Sands Bethlehem Event Center. In addition to new songs, Steven Tyler's recent live appearances have included such Aerosmith classics as Sweet Emotion, Crying, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Dream On, and Walk This Way. He's also been tackling covers by the Beatles with Come Together and I'm Down, and Fleetwood Mac's Rattlesnake Shake and Janis Joplin's Piece of My Heart.
Have you ever seen them in concert, Aerosmith?
Yeah.
And they put on a great show, don't they?
Like when Pump came out, when they really were cresting, and they were great.
Yeah.
They put on an awesome show. I don't know about now. Steven tends to fall off the stage from time to time, which would be awesome to see.
I think, honestly, there are some artists you got to see now while you can still see them fall off a stage.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. You absolutely should. Speaking of seeing artists on stage, our next guests are here to talk about an event that is coming up, Hoagie Nation.
Yeah!
Hoagie Nation is going to be at Festival Pier May 26th. Oh, but that's not all. What? There's another event in addition to this.
And what be that?
First, we want to welcome our friend from Live Nation, the one and only Mr. Jeff Gordon.
Yeah!
How you guys doing?
Good,
how
Jeff.
Are you?
How are you, okay, buddy?
No one will be falling off the stage.
Then. No.
All right.
No.
All right. We can't promise that. But
let's ask.
All right. And we want to welcome as well, because there is a food component to this event. After all, it is called the Hoagie Nation Party. And we want to welcome a gentleman who has a bit of a pedigree. He was a finalist on Chopped Grill Masters Napa, currently launching his full culinary product. Culinary. Did I say culinary?
Culinary.
It was also cast on season 9 of Food Network Star and returned as a fan favorite in season 10. And he's got this, like I said, this line coming up on Home Shopping Network. Please welcome Chef. We call him Dude. Yeah. But Chad Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Is
Thanks
here.
For having me.
How you doing, Chad?
Good. How are you?
Good. We had a little misinterpretation in in you being here. And somebody had to, Chef Dude's coming in. We were like, there's a guy named Chef Dude.
Yeah. I thought it was a Jeff Bridges thing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. That's what everyone thinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Strolls in a bathrobe. It's cool.
Hey, Jeff, so why don't you tell us about the event?
Sure.
I have not revealed the details on this yet.
This is the second year of Hoagie Nation, which is Daryl Hall and John Oates. Festival that we do with them, and they curate it with us. This year it has Train and Fits in the Tantrums and Tommy Conwell and a bunch of other acts we're going to announce. And then the night before, we're doing a higher-end culinary event based around hoagies, and that's why Chad's here to explain what he's going to provide there. He's helping curate it as well. One of the participants is a chef. A great guy, makes amazing food. And so we're kind of like having some fun, you know, and then it's a charity event as well on the night before. So we're going to have music there, but we're also going to have higher-end hoagies, and then hoagies the next day. So it's just going to be hoagie.
Okay,
hoagie.
There you go.
But
it's a party. It's
yes.
a
yeah, the film,
there's
going to
be music, there's going to be food.
I should have told you it's at the Fillmore.
Okay.
The beautiful Fillmore, the wonderful Fillmore.
It's a wonderful venue.
Yes.
It's going to be in the main room? Or
yes,
you guys
in the main room. We're going to use Ajax Hall, too, to have a lot of the food there. If you've been to the, of course, you've been there.
Yep.
Ajax Hall is the room in front of it. We're going to have a lot of the food items there. And then we'll bands on the stage.
Oh, excellent.
So it's going to be a whole night. And that's part of the whole weekend.
Jeff, I had some friends that went last year. And they asked me if I wanted to go. And it was Memorial Day weekend. And I couldn't make it. And I was like, I don't know. They were raving about it. They said they had so much fun at it. And I'm really glad that it came back for year number two.
For some reason, I thought this was year number three, and I don't know why.
No, this is year number two, but we could call it year number
three. Call it year number three, just to make me happy.
Sure.
I'll tell you what,
though. For you, it's year number three.
Hall & Oates in concert, man.
Oh, man, come on.
They're freaking, I've seen them a number of times.
Hits.
They are, exactly. It is wall-to-wall hits.
Yeah, and Philadelphians. So
yeah.
God bless.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's great.
All right, so food-wise, Chad, what are we going to expect?
Yeah, it's going to be, by the way, Hall & Oates was my first and second concert ever.
Hey, so you know, right?
My mother, Damn Rhonda, good. Took me when I was eight.
There you go.
At the Spectrum in 80-something. But back to the food. Hoagies, but high-end hoagies, not the old Italian tuna hoagies, kind of like the Vietnamese hoagie that I brought for you guys today. Just
Ooh.
We're going to really chef it up. There's some great chefs there. Jason Shishansky, which was a top chef.
Yeah.
Norfolk Carroll, also top chef. And we're going to it's going to be a party. It's going to be great food, great restaurants.
What's the Vietnamese hoagie that you brought in? What is all
so
that?
I have two restaurants out in Montgomery County, in Ambler and Springhouse and Abington. One is called Bun Street, which mm-hmm. is a Vietnamese sandwich shop. And my barbecue concept, which is called the Lucky Well. So I kind of combined the both. I smoked some pork shoulder at the Lucky Well, pulled that apart, and created a Vietnamese sandwich with pickled vegetables and cilantro and jalapeno and house-made mayo.
Is that what you were smoking earlier?
What time were we talking
sorry,
about?
I'm sorry.
That was last night. Earlier,
okay,
we
sorry,
can
sorry,
talk
sorry.
About later.
So is it like fusion stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of take the traditional Vietnamese sandwich, which is called a bun mi, and we kind of, Americanize it a little bit with char-grilled meats and really, you know, make it a hearty sandwich.
I've never heard of Vietnamese sandwiches before.
No,
I'm woefully. You need to hear about it. You need
please
to hear about it.
Bring us up to speed.
If you're kind of right here on City Line Avenue in the middle of where I am and, you know, Washington Street in Philly, but you can get some good ones in each place. But it's a French, it's kind of when the French and the Vietnamese kind of started hooking up. A French baguette. And just pickled vegetables and fresh herbs and usually something really kind of rich on the sandwich. Like we use a house-made mayo, but there's pâtés that they use as well or even butter in some places on a like kind of a really light, flaky French baguette. And it's just all kinds of flavors and textures. And it's
I'm
incredible.
Down with that.
So I will be that night, Friday night at the Fillmore, I'll be doing a Vietnamese sandwich or a Vietnamese hoagie since it's a hoagie festival.
Yes.
Hall & Oates, yeah.
And this is the first time for this sort of pre-party, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Yes.
So is it going to be like a variety of the sandwiches?
Yeah. There's
so
going to
be, they
so
be in
bunch
tiny
of
little,
different...
little portions, I guess.
Yeah, they'll be.
They have
to
be.
Yes, they'll be a tasting.
Like, good.
When you want a whole one, though, I can give you a whole one.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You will get a whole one.
Yes, because you're a major broadcaster in Philadelphia.
And it'll be the third year for you. So
yes, my third year.
Hoagie,
so
third
it's all
year.
Hat to me. Yeah.
Chad, has anybody ever mistaken you for Chad Smith or Will Ferrell? Doesn't
no.
he look a lot like him?
He looks totally like Chad Smith.
Yeah.
No. I usually get either Brad Pitt or Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
of course.
Brad Pitt
yeah.
or Mike
totally
Tyson.
Totally makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Totally. I see.
Yeah.
Now
I think he looks
it.
A lot like Will Ferrell, but that must be me, clearly.
I'm seeing Emmanuel Lewis.
I do live in my mom's basement.
I'm seeing Webster. All
the meatloaf.
Are those the sandwiches, by the way, right there?
They are.
They are.
Preston, you should try one.
I'll get to that in a little bit. Absolutely. So... All right, you're gonna have this. What's the package deal? What do you have? And by the way, Dave Wissickinen's band in the pocket.
Yes, in the pocket's playing. We're gonna announce another act or two, a national recording artist at that event, as well as more acts to be announced on the festival as well. So
Okay. Basically,
you go on the website, you'll see the different packages that include that VIP experience on the night before. So
okay.
It's really cool. It's gonna be a high end thing that's kind of cool with playing around with different ideas, concepts with hoagies, and then the next day we have Hoagie Nation, which I'm glad. Everybody had a great time. Everybody had a great time last year. It's
first 2 years
fun,
were great.
Fun. So, yeah, first 2 years for you were great. First year was the best one for you, actually.
Yeah.
Last year, the first real year, was amazing.
Yeah, Jackie Bam Bam was just texting me. He said he hosted it. He just had a great time.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a hoagie contest. There's a hoagie tasting. There's great food. There's great beer. There's great booze. It's great music. It's Daryl Hall and John Oates.
What else do you need? And Fits in the Tantrums. Awesome
and
as
Train.
Well.
Yep, Train.
So we're excited about it. It's another one of our festivals. You know, we do Made in America. We do this one. We do the Roots Picnic.
You're a startup company, but things are looking
little,
good.
Yeah, we're trying. We're a little engine that could.
Let's not forget you do the MMRBQ as well.
The start of summer, the biggest show of the year, the MMRBQ, May 19th. Tickets still available. Please buy some tickets. Doing great. We're going
to
sell out.
Awesome. Ah, love
and
to hear that.
You just mentioned two shows we're doing, too, as well, with the Godsmack show with Shinedown and Steven Tyler at the Sand. So we make our way around the state and the city.
Nice, man. All right, HoagieNation.com for this event, the pre-party, or to get your Hoagie Nation tickets as well.
Absolutely. Tickets are on sale now. Ticketmaster, go through the website.
Nice. May 25th and 26th. So get on board and make sure you do that. And, Chad, if you could, your restaurants one more time. Mention
yeah, it. So the Lucky Well Barbecue Whiskey Bar in downtown Ambler and Bun Street, B-A-N-H Street. It's in Springhouse in Abington. Okay. Small takeout Vietnamese hoagies. Korean fried chicken, just some awesome stuff.
Yeah, check it out. I'm going to have to visit that because this sandwich is excellent.
Thank you so much.
Now,
and
just
he plays
about
drums for the Chili Peppers.
Nice. And it's better when you eat it there. I made that in your bathroom.
Did you?
Yeah, but it's...
I made something in the bathroom earlier. Did you?
Hello.
Yeah. I'll pass on that one.
Nice. We're going down quick.
All right, cool. Jeff, good to see you.
All right, my
Chad,
man.
Nice to meet you. Thanks we appreciate so you guys. Hoagie Nation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Free party is Friday, May 25th, and the actual event, the big party, is on the 26. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet.
So sweet. So fine.
Royal Blood. Theory of a Dead Man.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3. On 93.3. WMMR.
You know what I'm really bummed out about?
Oh, no. What did I do?
I saw nothing you did, but when we were in Florida, we were at spring training, Casey Girl, from which you got your name, because we had two interns that worked at the radio station. We had two Caseys. One was female, one was male, so we never knew who we were talking about. Oh, Casey's going to pick that up. Which one? Casey Boy or Casey Girl? Oh, it's Casey Boy. And Casey Girl came down. I saw her for like 2 minutes.
Likewise.
Yeah, and that I was know. It.
Said hi quickly. She passed by. She was... all smiles, look very happy.
I haven't seen her in 20 years.
That was it.
I saw her Saturday as well, but again, it was, you know, like sort of like two ships passing in the night, and, you know, she was there with her husband, and, you know.
You were there?
I was there, but, you know, we all had different agendas. She just wanted to say hi, you know.
I wanted to spend time.
Yeah. But you know what, like, they're big baseball fans, and so they wanted to watch the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's 20 years, nothing.
Oh, I'm it's
spring
sorry.
Training for Christ. This game counts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, are you kidding me?
They had to watch the game instead of reconnect with dear friends from years gone by.
I don't know. I mean, songs like that made me think of that because that was back from when we worked at Y100, you know, when that songs like that came out. So I was thinking about Casey. Yeah.
I saw you welling up.
I'll invite her in.
You should.
Yeah.
Does she live out here?
Yeah. Yeah. She works at Urban Outfitters and
Oh, I thought she lived in Florida and it was like a big deal that she was. Okay.
No, she's such a huge baseball fan that they flew down there just for spring training.
Well, that makes me feel better to know that she's really in close proximity and never comes to visit.
In 20 years. We're that close.
By
the way, do you hear that noise? Do you hear that in the background? Listen.
It's Kathy's little friend.
I was about to say, it sounds like a generator running. They're working, they're expanding the restaurant in One Bella Plaza here called Manja. You've heard about them many times. They're world-famous breakfast pizza.
Yes.
And they're working on it. But we're on the fourth floor. You can hear them.
Conducts right up.
Down there. Yeah, it goes right at the wall. So if you hear that in the background, that's what's going on. All right, so thank yous. Real quick, thank you to the senior manager of Integrated Marketing, Jackie Kewen, who is here.
Yes.
Dunkin' Donuts is who she represents, and they are the new coffee sponsor of the Preston and Steve Show. And we'll be littered with wonderful things from Dunkin' that we can give away to you.
All sorts of things.
From time to time, so be ready for that. Thank you also to Brittany Schiff from NBC.
Yes.
Meteorologist, and she says we got anywhere from 6 to 12 inches now of snow.
Yes, which is drastically different than what we were hearing yesterday.
Yeah, so...
there's school closures letting out early today. Closures coming in already for tomorrow.
Letting out early today.
Oh, yeah, Ben's already out early. Kathy's son is out early, and I'm fully anticipating another day off tomorrow. And the tacking on at the end of the school year is really starting to accumulate as well.
I know, that sucks, man. All right, well, anyhow, we'll weather it through together.
Thank you also to the fine folks at Philly Wine Week. We had Chloe Grigri that came in this morning.
Grigri!
The general manager of the Good King Tavern. The Philly Wine Week is taking place this Thursday through next Thursday. And I forgot the website. Is it phillywineweek.com?
Dot org.
Dot org. Okay. I'd find out all the information. Kreischer!
Yay!
Bert Kreischer ran the L.A. Marathon on Sunday without training at all. And he gave us a call. We wanted to see how he's doing, and he's hanging in there. But he lives up to the name, the machine.
Yeah.
He did it. It's unbelievable. He managed to survive. And his Netflix special will be coming out in June, which was shot at the Troc.
Yes.
He said it turned out great. He says it's the best comedy show of his life. And then thank you also to Chad Rosenthal and our buddy Jeff Gordon. Hoagie Nation, the pre-party is coming up, and you can go to HoagieNation.com to get the information. And sorry to Gerard, listener here for Tattoos Day, was going to get a badass Black Panther tattoo, but we had a snafu with Kyle from Philadelphia Eddie, so we're going to make good on that. And Gerard will end up getting his ink. We'll make sure that that happens.
Very excited to see this when it's finally done.
Yep. Brent Porsche's here.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm doing well.
Nice. You have a Jeep.
I do.
So you'll be okay in
you
this
know how,
weather.
How I feel about snow after Cardboard Classic. And no, that Jeep gets me everywhere and anywhere I need to go.
We are new Jeep owners.
Yeah.
We bought one over the summer. So now where I might be, you know, wringing my hands trying to figure out what am I going to do. I'm just ready to go, man.
Well, maybe tomorrow, if it's supposed to be as bad as it's supposed to be, we could do some donuts out in the park.
All right, I'll follow your lead.
Well, we have a new sponsor that will provide them.
Right? Yeah, Dunkin'. Cool, let's get the letter of the day.
All right,
here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter?
By the letter O, as in OMG. There are a ton of Dunkin' Donuts out in our green room.
Nice. Yeah, we have a $300, by the way, Dunkin' Donuts gift card that we're going to give away. And a Preston and Steve studio sit-in, including breakfast provided by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your day at Dunkin' with any size iced coffee for $2 all day long. Excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. What do you got planned for the show today?
All sorts of good stuff. Workforce blocks today. We're going to do Linkin Park for Chester's birthday. Dave Matthews Band for Nick. Also, Deftones. I got Shinedown and Godsmack tickets. You guys were talking about that show. I also have Beck tickets. He's coming to the Festival Pier, both of which are winning before you can buy them. They go on sale this weekend. Double shots all day long. And, oh, it's spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
doesn't
exactly.
It feel like it?
By the way, as we were talking, I just got my text.
Do you know?
Yeah, Satterton, due to inclement weather, all school dismissing early today.
So today, all right, okay. So I guess that they're saying Brittany Shipp said that the afternoon would rush hour would be okay.
No, not wonderful. No, rush hour is going to be a mess tonight.
Is it going to be a mess?
Yeah.
Wintry mix, but 2 a.m. is when the steady snow starts.
Yeah. So, like, the mixture is what's coming in. So, like, you'll be okay to drive, but you figure everybody's going to want to get out of work early. It's going to be, like, one of those where you're gridlocked trying to leave at 2 o'clock, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, there you go. My kids are taking standardized tests all week, so I think they're just going to be staying.
Really?
Staying in school?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Being cool.
All right. Let's
move along.
Being cool. Staying in school.
Yep.
Being cool. That's right. All right. Let me take a moment to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show. I loved it, by the way, Case. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by New Jersey Transit Police Department. Keep our transit system safe. Text suspicious activity to NJTPD. And also brought to you by Pennsylvania Insurance Fraud Prevention Authority. Know the risks, know the penalties. Learn more at helpstopfraud.org. Tomorrow on our program, Fox Good Day, going to go live on there. And we will have the new singer of Stone Temple Pilots, Jeff Gutt, along with one of the DeLeo brothers and talk to them about the MMRBQ and the new album and all things STP. So that will be tomorrow morning. And that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great and safe day with the weather coming in, gang. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Captain's log, 5:59 p.m. I've been stuck on the Blue Route for what seems like years. No sign of intelligent life. No sign of improving traffic. End log.
Next message.
Hey, Preston, I was thinking about how you get upset with your coffee stir only has 10 seconds of fame. I feel for the coffee stirrers as well. So I use two stirrers, so at least it has a friend and it's not alone. I'm there for you, buddy.
Next message.
It's raining, it's pouring. I hate Tuesday. That didn't make sense. It doesn't matter. 933, rah! Bam!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.